There can be no other 97.3. No need to change. Keep it tuned to City. You're number one. Don't look no further. We've got it all covered. City FM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
Good morning to life.
Good morning.
Music, talk, inspiration, in perspective.
Express yourself.
Good morning, my neighbor.
City FM, your station.
It's a refreshing lifestyle.
City FM, 97.3.
Can you just, in like 30 seconds, you want to blast in the language of the spirit? Yeah, come on, lift it up.
Yeah.
SX24, Friday morning, April 19, 2024. The sound of the season is on the mouth of babes and the aged that like, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, I wanna burn for you. Want to be ready when you come. Want to hear you say, well done. Oh man. Joe Metal, Sandra Boachidria, is a clarion cry, a desperate one at that. In a world full of evil, a world full of injustice, a world full of iniquity, if your light will burn, if your lamp will burn, you need the oil. If the master will find you worthy, with your garments without blemish, blameless and spotless, without any wrinkle, oh, you need oil in your lamp. Seeing if your lamb is burning, if you have oil in your lamb and your lamb is burning, you truly will become the light of the world, truly will become the city on the hill. Your life will be an example to those who are in darkness, and your testimony will carry power. That is why you need oil in your lamb. A big thank you to Joe Metal, to Sandra Boachidria, really, for this very uplifting one, the sound of the season. Business Sense this morning, I found something very striking, and it's captured in Ephesians 4:28. Now, just pay attention. It says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Let me give you another version. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. This is the New Living Translation. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, then give generously to others in need. If you're probably going to work, you're in suit and tie, muck and wig. But you know that part of what you do is called stealing. If you are a thief, if part of what you do in your suit and tie business is stealing, then scripture is calling you a thief. But Business Sense today, it says quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. There is dignity in labor. So do good, hard work, and then give generously to others who are in need. If you have to quit stealing too, you need oil in your lamp, you know. Stealing will embarrass you. If you have been stealing, the law will catch up with you. It's a good business sense, trust me. If you stop stealing, you have peace of mind. And ADB says that if you are a paid employee or salaried worker and you need a personal loan to resolve your financial issues, to keep your lamp burning, ADB is offering you a variety of personal loans, including top-up loans that significantly reduce interest rates. You will also enjoy a longer tenor of up to 6 years. This offer is open to non-customers as well, so kindly visit the nearest branch or call 0302-210-210 or 0302-224-0434 for further inquiries. ADB is the People's Bank. ADB is truly a great and more. 6:28. Oh, 6:29 now. Welcome to the City Breakfast Show. The show is a very interactive one. 0549-986-996. 0549-986-996. You send us a message on WhatsApp or Telegram. We share it with the rest of the world on Twitter or X at City973. The hashtag is #CityCBS. My name is Caleb Kuda. We got some oil in our lamp. We'll be burning throughout the show. So join us. Let's burn together. How about that?
City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city973, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
J. Martin.
Life for Najaja, so just try to take him softly.
Come on.
Even if you lose, hey, with some of money.
Okay.
No matter the problem, never let them weigh you down. Hey. If you believe, you go defeat. Stand up to your feet and say no to your defeat. If you believe, only Jaffa do the rest. You fit be the nest. Believe in me, I say. If your girlfriend,
drink,
or maybe your wifey,
eh?
She dey play you while you, she dey slip around with your friends.
Ha.
Cool your temper. I say make you know they think I'm.
Okay.
No matter the weather, hey my brother, try forget them. Yeah. If you believe, you go defeat. Stand up to your feet and say no to your defeat. Believe and do the best. Only Javi do the rest. You fit be the nest. Believe in me, I say. Kulu kulu mama, kulu kulu papa, kulu kulu brother, kulu kulu sister, kulu kulu auntie.
Now I know the system is hot. Some people, their money is locked up somewhere. Some people too, their salaries have delayed. But you know, cool temper, biscuit in a mineral, even if in a sugar, Friday evening you'll be fine. Oh yeah, Jay Martin, he says cool temper, and Total Energy says, you need to keep your car cool, Fidelity Bank says, you need to keep your ecosystem cool. They're joining us to bring you the newspapers. As you know, a poorly maintained car engine can age faster. That is why we offer you specially formulated quartz engine oil with age resistance technology. It's a breakthrough innovation that ensures optimal performance for your engine and improves protection against mechanical wear by up to 74%, even under extreme temperatures and pressure. Choose quartz from Total Energies and you're choosing an engine oil that keeps your engine running efficiently and effectively. Quartz keep your engine younger for longer.
Stand up to your feet
and stand up to your feet and say no to defeat. Get onto the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System. PAPS is now live at Fidelity Bank. Imagine sending money to your loved ones or business partners across Africa instantly and in Ghana cities. Don't wait for days for transactions to clear. No more expensive fees. Just fast, secure and affordable payments. PAPS is here and Fidelity Bank makes sending money through PAPS easy. Visit any Fidelity Bank branch and start sending money across Africa instantly, securely and affordably to Nigeria, Gambia, Liberia, Guinea and Sierra Leone. Fidelity Bank, believe with us.
But God is with us.
God is sweet pass. It's that kind of morning. We are taking it cool.
Yeah.
We are cooling the temper. Because the system is hot. You understand? If only you have a by election in your area, then your road infrastructure will see some improvement.
Yeah, that's right. And you might, your pocket might smile too small.
Exactly.
Otherwise, but you pass here, they say, you understand?
It means that you are actually crying, right? You are crying and you are heading where there's a funeral. The people at the funeral are already crying, and you are also bringing yours.
So if you go past somewhere thinking that that person will sort you out, the way you go crying, if you say, "Oh bro, it's okay," you let me take my problem away.
He's driving car with AC problem.
No,
but good morning, it's a Friday. Yeah,
2 days ago, I stepped out and I saw Iram, the deputy leader.
Right, yes.
She was sweating.
Yeah, ma.
She was sweating. Yeah. She was sweating. I said, with deputy leader.
Members are hot.
And what they go on,
deputy leader. She kind of lucky. No, but let's welcome Richard in the sky, Nathan of Odaikwa for the newspaper review.
Maybe so.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Welcome to the studio.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Good man.
What's in front of you?
Okay, so I have the Ghanaian Times this morning. Mm-hmm. Election alert. Mm-hmm. Cybersecurity Authority engages tech providers to counter misinformation powered by artificial
intelligence.
Also on the front page this morning, 30% media outlets collapse due to financial constraints. This is according to the deputy minister responsible for information, Fatima Abubakar. She's here on the front page. And 609,
very sad
tragic story, die in road crashes in the first quarter of this particular year. I don't know. Let me take you to another story on the front page this morning. Ghana wins preliminary ruling in Cassius Mining $300 million international arbitration matter.
Well, that story is on the front page of the Daily Graphic, and it says $300 million Cassius Mining dispute. Loss of Ghana must apply international arbitration.
So the way Ghanaian Times puts it is as though we won the case, but I think the details is that we should bring it back to Ghana so that our courts here will handle the issue.
Yeah, okay. Well, it says preliminary.
We'll get into
so
that.
So that's what, so it is not a substantive matter. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, in other stories, new train crashes. That's on page 20 of the Daily Graphic. Pineapple has potential. Pay attention to crop. Legal practitioner entreats government. And on the Daily Graphic's constituency watch, Asokwa, industrial hub of Kumasi.
If you go to the Herald newspaper, they also have the story concerning our new train that is in the news. Now, sabotage claims engulf Ghana's newly imported train accident. They have photographs here on the front page to back the story. Mm-hmm. Also on the front page, Transport Minister pays his favorite company some $33.3 million against procurement laws in Buankra project mess. His photography is here on the front page. Also, police release details on luxury robber months after Herald story on Mrs. Emisa Asse's alleged robbery case. Again, Parliament, we're told, is rubbishing charges against Honorable Bagbin by Jubilee House Boys. That's what the paper calls the people who are behind, allegedly behind the reports. Now, the Parliament is reportedly saying that the delayed recall of MPs report is frivolous. And we take you to Nungwa. Nungwa gets back young priestess after underage marriage drama.
Okay. The new finder says motorcycles kill 931 out of 2,276 road crash fatalities in 2023. Those are heavy numbers.
That's about 80%,
isn't it? Yeah. Heavy, heavy. You know, I mean, that's 931 out of 2,000. Less than 80. Yeah. Okay. But that's huge. That's huge. Yeah. Other stories. Ghana Cote d'Ivoire Cocoa Initiative Headquarters Commission. This happened yesterday in Accra. A newly imported train collides with parked truck during test drive. And Accra Climax Exceptional 2023 UNESCO World Book Capital Event.
Okay, let me take you to the Republic Press. Again, they have the story on the new train. Ghana's new train wrecks in collision with car. Also, former PPA boss says troubles mount as OSP chases him with fresh charges. And the OSP is still there. Now, Shanti Regional Minister under fire as ECG senior staff hunt him for apology. Some other stories here on the front page of the newspaper.
All right, the Chronicle says, I believe in women empowerment. That's coming from Dr. Baumia.
Okay.
And there's a question, a female running mate in the offing?
Okay. We'll see about it.
And the other story on the front page of the Chronicle, please, Mr. President, assent to LGBT plus bill. Baptist pastors.
Okay.
The Inquisitor says, for conceiving Jensa Kumasi pipeline project, Otumfuo extols NAPO. Mm-hmm. and Otumfuo is here, seen, you know, interacting with the right. Minister for Energy.
Right.
It's a beautiful photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is looking for Speaker Bagbin? Peter Bamfo is demanding. And lack of public press accountability, pathetic, according to Dr. or is it Sam Jonah?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, Dr. Ofori Tinkran exits SNIT with solid record.
Okay.
Okay, the ABC News says, sabotage? Question. Ghana's new train in test run accident. And the pictures are here.
Mm-hmm.
Pokwasi 8,000 affordable housing project on course. That's coming from Kojopon Kuma. And Dr. Baumia calling for women's empowerment. And the AG's office is chasing Alex Mode, Gavivina for 5 million CD bail bond for jailed Maslock C.
Let me take you to the Daily Searchlight. More independent candidates should contest NPP NDC. They are our worst problem. Kofi Apieni Enin is speaking here on the front page of the Daily Searchlight.
Okay.
Also, Asembe Nkrani, Ghana's new train crashes on first run. That's the headline.
Asembe Nkrani.
Yeah. We matter be this.
I know, right?
Stop hate speeches, insults in the media. That's coming in from the National Peace Council. And three teenagers arrested for allegedly gang defiling fellow students.
Oh, no. No. The Informer, finally from me. Kumasi Hercules episode. Pool warns politicians, stay off ECG.
Yes.
That's a strong warning.
Yes.
Maslock boss faces extradition to serve 10-year jail term in Ghana. And at the Professor Kwame Jechi Memorial Lectures, let's rededicate ourselves. Akufado urges citizens.
Let me take you finally to the BNFT. Big story on the front page says, government assures investors of steps to strengthen energy sector. Also, finance minister calls for climate proofing of economies at V20 meeting. And something here that says Anansi green energy to deliver green electricity via new renewable energy platform.
Okay.
And nearly 15% of seafood produced globally in 2021 wasted. Can you imagine? Ooh. That's a lot. When we are here, we can't even... Yesterday, 15%. Somebody bought fish. Small fish like that for 15 Ghana cedis.
And it's going waste.
Yes, it's going globally. You know, probably we're not storing them.
We'll find out more very shortly. Let me take you online. And government starts rehabilitation of major roads in Edriso ahead of by-election.
I see.
And GMA opposes establishment of new medical schools. Police arrest truck driver over new train accident. Allegations against Bagbin over delayed recall of MPs frivolous. This is Parliament speaking. and I will prioritize the welfare of cocoa farmers in Akufo-Addo here. No injuries reported in Ghana's new train accident, Amewu here. An organized labor threatens to strike May 2 over Tier 2 pension arrears. If you go to My Joy Online, police arrest truck driver alleged to have caused train crash. Political interference makes public sector managers appear incompetent. Dr. Mantiel is speaking. Jasmo Construction begins work on dualization of Takrade Aguna in Kwanta Road. Some good news there. Situate power sector challenges within the context of the Fourth Republic. Jantua is speaking. And NDC MPs call for resignation of ECG, MD and board. I will take you global. And if you go to Al Jazeera, Jacob Zuma's nine lives. How South Africa's ex-president keeps coming back. It's an interesting feature there. And BBC reports of the biggest election yet to happen. This is India because of the sheer size of their population. World's biggest election kicks off as India votes. And also, can TikTok's owner afford to lose its killer app? Stories on BBC. CNN says Apple deletes WhatsApp threats from China App Store on orders from Beijing. Geopolitical wars keep going on, and we are feeling its impact in the technological space. Let's go into the details, Sky.
So we take off with a matter concerning the train, right?
Very bizarre development there.
So let me take you to the Daily Searchlight angle, which says Asimbe Granny. Now, Ghana's much celebrated and recently acquired train, which arrived from Poland and intended to operate on the Tema Mpakadan railway line, has been involved in an accident during a test run in the Esujaman district. Now, the Ministry of Railways Development, in a statement dated Thursday, April 18, 2024, clarified that the accident took place around 12:10 p.m. on the same day. Now, according to the ministry, the train encountered a stationary vehicle positioned directly across the rail track as it approached the curve at some 76 plus km,
which is what?
Most is kilometers.
Yeah, maybe, okay, an hour, maybe, yes. Something like that. Now, despite the immediate application of the emergency braking system, the train was unable to come to a complete stop before colliding with a vehicle. They are quoting the statement at this point. Now, the ministry assured that no fatalities were recorded as passengers, drivers, crew, and bystanders are all safe. There's a further quote in the story that says, it is important to note that the vehicle was unmanned and the location where it was found is not designated as an authorized level crossing. Thankfully, there were no injuries sustained by passengers on the train or bystanders. However, there was minor damage to the driver's car section of the train.
Meanwhile, the police have arrested the driver of that particular truck. Story is on citynewsroom.com. Go down quickly, Caleb, and bring that story. The Ghana Police Service has arrested the driver of a Hyundai truck with registration number GS901820, for allegedly causing an accident involving the newly imported train on the Tema Mpakadan railway line. The newly imported train from Poland was involved in an accident, which background we've already heard. In a statement, the police said their preliminary investigation had established that the suspect driver left their said vehicle unattended to on a railway line, leading to a collision with the train. The truck driver is said to have gone on a delivery of cement blocks when the truck got stuck on a rail after he was unable to use a pass-through under the bridge. The Minister of Railway Development, Peter Amewu, said engineers are working to repair the train. Police investigations are ongoing as well. Sky.
Well, let me just take you quickly to another angle
of this. The suspecting story. Sabotage.
Yeah, if you go to the Herald, they are saying sabotage claims engulf Ghana's newly imported train accident. But if you go to 1, 2, 3, the fourth paragraph of that story, they say that, but the Herald's nosing around the matter has unearthed interesting developments, including debts owed contractors, row over compensations between the residents and government for properties destroyed to make way for the railway line, lawsuits, salary arrears, disgruntled workforce, amongst others. In an arguably in arguably one of the confused sectors in the state transport apparatus. He goes on to talk about other things, including the sector has the Ministry of Railways Development high from the Ministry of Transport and headed by Kwesi Ofori-Siama, Ghana Railway Development Authority, and the Ghana Railway Company, largely based in Takoradi, with each drawing its influence from various places within the corridors of power, especially the Jubilee House and the presidency for that matter.
Interesting. I see. If you go to page 20 of the daily graphic, mm-hmm. there's a story. Since we are talking crashes and mm-hmm. all, I'll give you two stories. One in the graphic, one in the finder. Mm. Now, this story says, cop dies in motorbike crash in Kumasi. Mm. Now, the story says, a police officer with the visibility unit of the Ghana Police Service in Kumasi lost his life when he ran his motorbike into a stationary truck. Mm. So, another stationary truck in Kumasi. The policeman, whose name was not known at the time of going to press, was said to be chasing a motor traffic offender when the crash occurred at Kenton Krono at about 3 p.m. last Wednesday. He crashed into a parked truck and fell flat with his
the print
is really bad on page 20. But effectively, he ran into a stationary vehicle. Now, to a broader one, mm-hmm. and motorcycles kill 931.
Oh, dear.
Okay, this is on page 2 of the finder. Yeah. Yes, Officer Darko says motorcycles killed 931 people in 2023 from 4,352 reported crashes. Mm. This represents 40.9% of the total 2,276 commuted killed during the year. Okay. Now, in other breakdowns, commercial vehicles killed 801 travelers, which is 35.1% of total deaths from 7,354 crashes. It goes on to provide these very horrible numbers.
Right.
Now, the finder is doing a great job. Every now and again, they release these numbers. Of course, mm-hmm. they source them from the NRSA. Mm-hmm. But my point is that we need to do a lot more in sensitizing people on how to use the road.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's negligence, error,
all of them.
Defects, everything.
Discipline. All
of them. It's, discipline. Look, some of the numbers, you say, 931 people.
Yeah, right.
Count 1, 2, 3, 4, 931 dying from cycles. Read the commercial vehicles killing people. We need to do a lot more. These numbers are not statistics.
Exactly.
They are human beings.
Yes.
They are people's parents, uh-huh. relatives, employers, mm-hmm. employees.
Breadwinners.
Breadwinners.
Citizens. Mm. So and you know, just to plug into that, another angle of that story is in the Ghanaian Times.
Mm-hmm.
You find that on page 3, 609 die in road crashes in the first quarter of 2024 alone. First quarter. So imagine, knock on wood, by end of the year, if we're not careful, we will not be pleased with the numbers.
Too bad.
It is completely unacceptable. We have to do a lot more. The indiscipline must be dealt with. You can't just go and park your vehicle somewhere and go and eat fufu or anything.
Very important.
In the process, people die. Sometimes your vehicle, look, you can make little effort to push the vehicle off the road completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some people just leave it there.
Where
others sleep under the vehicle. Absolutely. And they put bushes, you know, ahead. Charlie.
Let's get back to the Daily Graphic.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about, you know, the International Tribunal story.
Mm.
Emmanuel Ebohoxin writes for the Daily Graphic. It says the Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague, Netherlands, has ruled that the laws of Ghana shall apply to an international arbitration instituted by Australian mining company Cassius and Mining Company against the government of Ghana. Now, the company is seeking about $300 million in damages with a claim that the GOG breached its contractual obligations and the laws of the country by not renewing its prospecting license to enable it to engage in mining in the country. Ruling on the preliminary issues, the tribunal held that the seat of the international arbitration ought to be Accra, Ghana, not London, UK, as argued by Cassius Mining. The tribunal gave the ruling that the seat of the tribunal shall be in Ghana, not in the UK, after it upheld the submission of the Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Godfrey Dami.
So the case will continue back in Ghana.
Yeah, hopefully.
If the ruling is anything to go from there.
Okay, so let me take you back to the Herald. Parliament rubbishes charges against Bagbin by Jubilee House boys. Now, Parliament has dismissed charges that the Speaker, Alban Sumana Kingsford-Bagwin, is delaying the recall of members of Parliament due to his political affiliation. Our statement released yesterday, Thursday, April 18, 2024, by the Parliamentary Service clarified that the House is currently on recess with MPs attending to constituents while Bagbin is on assignment in Dubai. Now, in recent days, a wave of social media activity purportedly seeking the whereabouts of Ghana Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin has sparked curiosity and scrutiny. The long and short of it is that if for some reason some MPs want the House recalled, the Constitution and the Standing Order, the standing orders of
spells
Parliament
out how they can
exactly
go about
15
it.
At least 15% of you sign a recall notice, send it to the Speaker, and he knows what to do.
This one is for the public servants. I'm just giving you headlines. It comes with a very stern looking photo of the Deputy Attorney General Alfred Chia Yabua. He says there is a day of accountability. He's advising public servants. So those of you who are doing things, you are coming soon. You don't have power to find board of directors, lawyer to PURC.
Okay.
And court fines man 600 Ghana cedis for fake penis shrinking claim. These are some headlines in the Republic Press. But if you go to, if you go online, BBC, CNN rather, Apple deletes WhatsApp threads from China app stores on orders from Beijing. The details quickly: Apple has removed WhatsApp and threads from its Apple store in China following an order from the country's internet watchdog, which cited national security concerns. There is more of this we'll bring to you on tech and social media, but you can find details on CNN.
Okay, quickly, this one concerns you know, workers of this country. NLC attributes delays in resolving teachers' demands to absence of finance minister. Now, this story is in the Inquisitor.
So, in the absence of the finance minister, there is no minister of state.
The National Labour Commission has cited the absence of finance minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam as a reason for the government's delay in addressing the concerns raised by three aggrieved pre-tertiary teacher unions. Now, this delay persists even after the unions failed to reach a resolution with the government within a week following the suspension of their nationwide strike. Now, the industrial action, which lasted 2 weeks, stemmed from the demand for improved conditions of service. Addressing the media after an engagement with the teacher unions, the executive secretary of the NLC, Ofosu Asamoah, emphasized the need to facilitate negotiations to address the issue. Now, he goes on to talk about a number of other things. But basically, according to the story, he's saying that the minister is not available. And because he's not available,
it's affecting the resolution.
I really, this one is
something. Anyway,
just finally, I just...
He said that, and there are problems with it.
page 11 of the Daily Graphic.
Yes, very finally.
It's a feature on glaucoma. So for those who are very interested in the safety and longevity of their eyes, this is a very interesting read for you. Glaucoma, worrying statistics cause for concern.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you. That was a newspaper review with Richard Alaskai, Nathan Obudaikwa.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
As a minute to the top of the hour, 7, Agwell PLC, your CIMG Hall of Fame and 2022 Petroleum Company of the Year has taken the lead again. Girl has opened out remodeling liquefied petroleum auto gas service stations across the country. Look out for us at Bema Camp in Accra, Kpeshi in Accra, Pedu Junction, Cape Coast, and Pinton, Takoradi, and Kenton Chrono in Kumasi. Girl is delivering the safest and affordable gas at your convenience. Girl, good energy, Yanaraya, dear. Now, this is for the businessman, trader, and parent sending money to loved ones and business partners thanks to the Access Bank PAPS partnership. You can now send money across border hassle-free. Now you can send money to pay for goods and services, make business transactions, and cover school fees across Africa without worrying about foreign exchange losses or delays.
A straightforward, secure, and keeps your mind at ease. Benefit from instant payments across Nigeria, Liberia, Gambia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone with zero foreign exchange hassle. When you send money in cedis, it will now be received in any other currency by the recipient. For more information, visit our website www.ghana.accessbankplc.com or call our toll-free number 0800-004400. For all your cross-border payments, visit any of our branches and PAPS it with Access Bank. Access Bank, modern banking. If you're carrying multiple phones around, that can be a chore. Really can be a chore, but you can go seamless with MTN eSIM and enjoy the convenience of connecting multiple phone numbers to one single phone or device. If you want to check if your device is compatible, simply dial *#06# once and you will receive an EID number. It means that your phone or device is compatible. Simply download my MTN app today to request your MTN eSIM and enjoy the sweet seamless life everywhere you go. Neil Atelate joins us in the studio for business news. Good morning, Neil Atelate.
Good morning, Caleb. Hello and welcome to the breakfast edition of City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyal and Access Bank. Straight into our stories for the morning. And we begin from the energy sector, where government remains committed to implementing measures to strengthen the implementation of the cash waterfall mechanism as part of the reforms to boost the energy sector. The cash waterfall mechanism seeks to clear power sector-related debt by distributing revenues from the sale of electricity proportionately among relevant energy sector players involved in the electricity supply value chain. However, over the years, many have described it as ineffective as it starves members of revenue to meet their obligations. Speaking during a panel discussion on improving the country's energy sector issues, Finance Minister Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam highlighted some measures to ensure the system lives up to expectations.
It is important to also state that we have had challenges implementing the cash waterfall, as a result of which, through our collaboration with the World Bank, with the IMF, we have instituted some measures to make it more effective. One of the measures we have introduced is to audit the cash waterfall mechanism quarterly.
Yeah.
But we also required to publish the audit findings. And then in addition to this, we are discussing with the World Bank under what we call P4R program, which will require us to acquire or procure up to 1 million meters. Because the issue of addressing the finances in the sector is not just about tariff adjustment, but also how we can improve on collection. You have up to 7 different meters in the system.
That was Finance Minister Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam speaking about government's new reform of auditing the accounts of the cash waterfall mechanism. He was speaking at the ongoing IMF World Bank spring meetings in Washington, D.C. Now, Associate Professor at the Department of Economics at the University of Cape Coast, Professor James Atapepra, says government's failure to uphold fiscal discipline will exacerbate the current economic challenges. His reaction is on the heels of the IMF's recent forecast of a downward trend in inflation rates, attributing it to the government's robust implementation of measures outlined in the IMF program and the Bank of Ghana's adherence to stringent monetary policies. However, Professor Atapepra expresses reservations regarding the government's historical commitment to its set targets. He's been speaking to City Business News.
Governments always say that we are committed, but we don't see the commitment. Commitment is not something that is done. Commitment. Government said, I'm committed to this. It is one thing said, another thing doing it. And so we have heard so many promises, so many commitment promises. Did they commit themselves to it? If government continue to spend, it will throw the commitment overboard. If government continue to be physically indisciplined, it will not solve that commitment problem. No matter the level of commitment, it will not lead to the yielding the needed or the desired result.
Associate Professor at the Department of Economics at the University of Cape Coast, Professor James Atapepra there. President Nana Akufo-Addo has underscored the importance of sustained agro-industrialization, particularly aimed at augmenting the cocoa sector and enhancing the entire agricultural value chain, highlighting the government's strides. He maintains that adding value to exported products is key. Speaking at the formal opening of the permanent office of the Cote d'Ivoire-Ghana Initiative in Accra, President Akufo-Addo challenged the private sector to drive economic advancement in Ghana's agricultural landscape.
Our quest for agro-industrialization is repositioning the dynamic of the agricultural sector. The cocoa sector in Ghana in particular is witnessing the impact of these changes. The volume and value of domestic processing has been on the rise. Total installed processing capacity has risen to more than 50% of national output. Total value of exported secondary product now averages above $800 million per year. We are on the trajectory of, quote, a modern, prosperous, and a private sector-driven economy anchored on the vision of a Ghana beyond aid.
President Nana Akufo-Addo, before we go, let's check out how the CDI is faring against its major trading counterpart. The dollar gained a peso while selling at 13 CDs and 2 pesos. The British pound gained 5 pesos selling at 16 CDs, 22 pesos. The euro is selling at 13 CDs, 87 pesos. It gained 3 pesos. However, at some forex bureaus in the capital, the dollar is selling at 13 CDs, 40 pesos, while the British pound could be sold to you at 16 CDs, 60 pesos. That of the euro going for 14 CDs, 30 pesos. And that does it for the breakfast edition of City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyal and Access Bank. My name is Ni Late Late. It's Friday. Do have a good business day. Up next is the City Business Edition.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
It's 9 after 7, 97.3 CDFM, City Breakfast Show. My name is Caleb Kuda. Today on Business Edition, we'll talk about the proper application of pesticides as we slowly gear up towards ending our public awareness campaign brought to you by the Center for Agriculture Biosciences International. In the meantime, what if I told you that first things first? What if I told you that some things are etched in stone, that things will never change? That one always comes before two, the letter A always comes before B, and the letter B always comes way before the letter N. What if I told you that at FBN Bank, our goal is to put you, our cherished customer, first? That our products and services have been designed just for you? What if I told you that you deserve the finer things in life, and banking is no exception? Wouldn't this interest you enough to bank with us? When you think of a bank that cares and puts its customers first, put the B before the N, think FBN Bank. FBN Bank, you first. Now imagine launching your career, starting your own business, or embarking on advanced studies within 6 months of graduation. Listen, this is the reality for Ashesi University graduates. From Accra to Nairobi, London to New York, Ashesi graduates are noticed and they are leading successful careers. Regardless of what you choose to study, an Ashesi education gives you a strong foundation for life. So visit ashesi.edu.gh, ashesi.edu.gh to learn more about the Ashesi Advantage. Remember, admission is ongoing. And if you need to make an urgent call but realize you don't have credit, a very important conversation cut short because you've run out of airtime, well, there's no need for all that stress because all you have to do on MTN is dial *506#, and you get to borrow credit on MTN Extra Time. The best part is you can also borrow data by dialing the same number *506#, and you can bundle data whenever you run out to continue browsing as always. Your conversations don't need to end. Borrow Extra Time now and enjoy the things you love on your favorite network, MTN. So let's get into it. Ni Late Late and his guests talking about proper application of pesticides for all the farmers and all who are looking forward to going into farming, and everyone who needs to know a thing or two about applying pesticides to crops. Enjoy.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Please wait. Please wait. Please wait until I get my new car. Please wait until I find my real size. I'm gonna get me some love of somebody. My girl, sweet girl. My girl, I can see.
Hello there, it's another episode of the City Business Edition on 97.3 City FM. You know what? Pesticide contamination has become a major food safety concern in Ghana in recent times, and several studies have actually confirmed and provided evidence of the high incidence of pesticide misuse and overuse in crop production in the country and the detrimental effect on humans and the environment. Well, several reasons have also been cited to account for this high incidence of pesticide misuse in crop production, leading to serious threats to health and food safety in the country. And so it is for this reason that the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International, CABI, is embarking on an 8-to-10-week campaign which aims to sensitize and heighten awareness of key actors, stakeholders, and the public on pesticide risk in order to engender changes in knowledge, attitude, practices, behavior, which will in turn lead to increased supply of safer, high-quality food in domestic markets. One of the conversations we've been having on the City Business Edition has been the safe use of pesticides. And today, we are delving deeper into what pesticide application means. We are grateful that you have joined us once again for this insightful conversation. So our friends and colleagues from the Ministry of Food and Agriculture are joining us once again. Eric Jimado, Assistant Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate at the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, as well as Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, Ministry of Food and Agriculture. Eric and Copperfield, thank you. Welcome to the City Business Edition.
Thank you very much.
We'll be having a lot of conversations. Maybe today I should begin with Eric. Eric will be telling us how he's been seeing the campaign so far. What do you make of the education you are giving the public?
Well, I think it's been quite impactful. When we are done with the interview and we go out, people call us to tell us how useful the message we are passing across is. Mm-hmm. So, all in all, I think we are making progress in trying to get stakeholders to use pesticide responsibly.
We are making progress, you say. Is it the same sentiment you also share, Copperfield?
Exactly. The same sentiment. Because we've been receiving a lot of calls from across the country, people reacting to what we have been telling them, and I hope it will go well and they'll put it into good use.
I see. Thank you very much, you, for leaving your busy schedules to join us every now and then. I'm sure the public, especially the farmers, are getting more knowledge, trying as much as possible to reduce the risk associated with pesticide use. It's for a good reason to reduce pests on the farms, but also being mindful of the fact that it can go against the health of individuals and also the larger environment. But today we are talking about application of pesticides. And throughout the about 6 weeks of conversation, every now and then we hear application of pesticide, how you apply the pesticide. Today, the time is ripe for us to talk about pesticide application in a more comprehensive manner. So let me start with you, Copperfield. Application of pesticide, the do's, the don'ts, the cautions, pre, during, and after. Take us away.
Thank you very much. This is a very long one. Before pesticides are applied, I think that farmers or the applicators should be able to identify correctly the pest that they want to kill or manage. by so doing, you know exactly what to buy. So you don't just go and say, well, I want to buy poison, I want to buy pesticide. You will be specific on what to buy. If it is insects that you want to kill, you ask for insecticide. If it is disease that you want to manage, you ask for fungicide or bactericide. And the application equipment that you'll be using is also necessary, so that you don't just use anything to apply the pesticide. Then with that, you have to make sure you calibrate the applicator, the spray equipment that you are going to use. You have to calibrate for efficiency, so that it will deliver the right quantity of chemical that you want to apply on the host. In addition to that, you read the label thoroughly, as we've been mentioning all the time. You read the label because it contains all the information about the product. Then you also know the PPEs that you'll be using to protect yourself before embarking on the application. So the application is just like to deliver a quantity of mixture or product onto a host, so that you'll be able to reduce their population for you to also enjoy what you have cultivated or you have planted.
So my understanding is that, first off, if you fail to identify the kind of pest you want to even deal with, your application process has already begun on a wrong foot.
Exactly.
And the type of pesticide that you want to use, mm-hmm. the application, what you have on the label, the quantity, and what have you.
Yes.
Right. But in Ghana, typically, what kind of pests do we deal with? And what kind of pesticides thereof?
Here, we have all kinds of pests. All the pests are here. We have insect pests. We have rodents. We have nematodes. They are in the soil. Then we have birds. We have diseases. Diseases, they are microorganisms. We cannot see them, but we see their signs and we see their symptoms. So we apply fungicide or bactericide to manage the situation. Birds are also pests to some extent. Snakes and other things are also pests. So things that disturb us, we call them pests. In the surface.
But the rodenticide, the weedicides, all the sites, they yes. are the generic names. But maybe in order for us not to name particular brands, so that's why you're avoiding giving us the specific kind of pesticides to use, if my understanding is.
The pesticides, that's the generic name. Insects, for you to manage insects, you have insecticides.
Which is a generic name.
Yes, I wouldn't want to mention any specific trade name as if I'm promoting
exactly.
That particular product. So we have nematicides for nematodes. We have fungicides for fungus. Then we have snails. Snails are also pest. So we used molluscicides to manage them. So
I thought rodenticide was my favorite, but I think this one is, and I don't want to try mentioning it.
Molluscicides. rodenticides are for
rodents,
especially the backbone, those animals those animals the having the backbones.
Vertebrates and invertebrates. Yeah. I see. You always take us back to the biology class. But Eric, I see that you want to add something.
Yes, so I see you want us to maybe break it down further.
Yeah.
I mean, taking it from the generic names. So when you take the insecticides, we can talk about specific AIs. AI, not
artificial intelligence.
We are talking about active ingredients.
Yes. I see. Break
so
it down for us.
Some of the common actives we have in relation to insecticides, we can talk about chlorpyrifos.
Another big one.
Yeah, chlorpyrifos is one of the actives we have as insecticide. We can talk about lambda cyhalothrin. It's also one of the actives we have as insecticide. A couple of them. I mean, it's not just I've not kept everything in there, but like this come
readily
handy. Yeah. So
And if we talk about the herbicides, we can also mention AIs like glyphosate, which is the most widely used herbicide we have in the country right now. We can talk about paraquat. It's also one of the AIs in the weedicide group. We can talk about nicosulfuron. It's one of the AIs we have in the weedicide group. We can talk about atrazine. It's a selective AI we have in the weedicide group. So for atrazine, nicosulfuron, you can apply them whilst maybe a maize field is growing and it wouldn't have any effects. It wouldn't burn the maize. It would just select and kill the wheat within the maize field. So basically, these are some of the AIs we have when we talk about, I mean, pesticides and, sorry, insecticides and weedicides.
I see, but correct me if I'm wrong. Beyond the AIs and the types of pesticides, one of the key components in the application process will be the spraying machine. What kind of spraying machine is ideal contextually for us in Ghana? And how do we keep the machine in the right condition before, during, and after the process? I don't know who wants to take this one.
All right, let me give an attempt to that.
Attempted solution.
Yes, we have different forms of spraying machines. We have the motorized ones. We have the boom sprayers, which are usually machine operated. We mount them behind tractors to spray and all that. So at the farmer level, the most widely used sprayer is the knapsack sprayer. Yes.
That's the small-scale farmer.
The small-scale farmer. And that's the most widely used sprayer. So before a farmer goes to the farm to apply any pesticide, the first thing he needs to do is to check the knapsack sprayer for leaks and other damages and fix them before he goes to the field to carry out any pesticide application. So the best way in doing that is to first fill the knapsack with raw water and then try to, I mean, pretend as if you are spraying just to check where there will be leakages and all that. There are some pressure points where easily gets leaked. We are talking about the nozzle area, the gun or the trigger area. We are also talking about the tank head.
So what you are saying is essentially some test run.
Exactly.
And that's what we refer to as calibration.
Technically.
Right. Yeah, yes. Technically.
So once you are doing that, you also calibrate, as my boss has just mentioned. So calibration basically helps you to tune the sprayer to enable you deliver a certain amount of pesticide for a given area. So after spraying, you don't just go and dump the sprayer down and leave it and go for it the next time. You have to wash it. You have to make sure you clean it. You remove all the particles that might be stuck in the pressure areas I mentioned earlier, the nozzle area, the trigger area, and all that. Usually they get blocked. So you need to clean it. You open all of those places. You remove all the debris that might, get stuck there before you store the sprayer at a safe place or in a safe place.
But what about when it comes to filling the tank, as it were, with the content, which is the pesticide?
Yes.
What does it look like when it comes to that?
Yeah, so there's an approach to doing that. You don't straightforward place the pesticide in there. You need to half fill the tank with water. Then once you are done with that, you measure the right quantity of pesticide you are supposed to apply
based on what the label says.
Correct. Exactly. Based on label recommendation into the tank. Then once you add your pesticide, you top it up and then you shake it so that you ensure uniform mixture before you go to apply. So this is the approach to filling your tank with the mixture.
And this approach and procedure that you just ran us through, does it require any specific training? If it does, whose responsibility is it and how easy is it?
Yeah, it's you need to be trained on handling of these machines and pesticides, because the parts, you have to know the role of each part. So the training, it's very, very important, so that you'll be able to know the type of pesticide you are using, the categories of pests that you can manage, or you can spray, how to apply the pesticide itself, using different types of machines, as Eric has mentioned. But let's narrow down to the knapsack sprayer, which is mostly used by the farmers. So how to put on your PPEs and other strategies that you can adopt in pest management. All these things must be taught, or applicators must be trained on this. Then after care, when you apply, you finish application, how to treat the spray machine before you embark on another spraying. All these things must be taught, because pesticides are poison.
That takes me to, you know, the issue of precautions. I mean, the last time we met, we spoke heavily about precautions, but briefly, just as testing our relevant previous knowledge, just take us through the precautions when it comes to the application of pesticides.
Yeah, precautions to take when you want to embark on application. First, you have to make sure you get clean water. You get clean water. You make sure your PPEs are ready. You don't use torn PPEs. Then you read the label, as we've been mentioning. Then you check your machine, whether it is working well. Then you embark on mixing. Mixing, it's a very technical thing that you have to do. Some people just pour the chemical into the tank. It's not the best. First, you have to make sure you have filled the tank. Then you add the recommended dosage onto it before you top up and you embark on the spraying. And make sure that the weather is also conducive before you start your spraying activity. If the weather is cloudy and it's like the rain is about to come, please, you don't go spraying. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure, and you have to go there early in the morning or late in the evening if you want to apply pesticides. So as you are spraying or you are applying the pesticides, you avoid drinking, smoking, and any other thing that will expose you to these chemicals.
I'm just wondering, Eric, all this while we have been talking about the safe use of pesticides, and one of the fundamental issues is about the storage. But I'm just wondering, when it comes to transporting these pesticides, are there precautions that have to be taken right from the production house to when it gets to the farm, and even from the farm, the point of storage to its application? Talk to us about this particular kind of precaution that farmers must take when transporting pesticides.
Yeah, you would agree with me that we have established here that pesticides are very hazardous. So in transporting them, we need to take necessary precautions in order not to endanger the lives of humans, livestock, and even the food we eat. So in transporting pesticides, we have to make sure we don't mix pesticides with food items during transportation. It's very, very bad a practice. Secondly, we don't have to keep pesticides in the compartment where humans sit during transportation. And it's also very important not to mix or place pesticides where livestock are, transported as well. So you don't mix these two, because if you do that, you might end up killing your livestock before you even get to your destination. So this is very, very important. And then once you get to your destination, it's important to keep the pesticides under lock and key. I think this time I'm getting it right. You keep it under lock and key so that you prevent unauthorized people from getting access to pesticides before they cause some damage to themselves. So this is very critical when we are transporting pesticides.
In addition to that, you don't transport pesticides without labels. It might be taken, it might be somebody who take it for maybe a drink or something, which might be a problem in the near future. So the labels must be intact, and the driver's area, that's the compartment of the driver, pesticide should not be taken. The reason is that some of the pesticides will be releasing slowly, so the fumes you'll be inhaling the fumes, and it can have effects on the human health.
This is still the City Business Edition on 97.3 CTFM. We are talking pesticide application as part of the campaign by the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International. That's CAPI. CAPI is undertaking this multiple advocacy and awareness creation initiative to address the problem of pesticide misuse, essentially to promote food safety in Ghana. So through a series of multi-stakeholder engagement and behavior change campaigns, this program is working to promote the uptake of appropriate pesticide decisions and behaviors among various actors to ensure the production and supply of safer and higher quality foods for domestic consumption. And helping with today's discussion is Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, and Eric Jimado, Assistant Director, the same directorate, both at the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, simply referred to as MOFA. We've been talking about the fiscal way of, you know, alleviating or improving the use of pesticides, the chemical method, as well as the biological pathway. But one of the points of interest is how we can strike a fine balance between the chemical and non-chemical methods of pest control in the country. And so, Mr. Banini, I want you to pick up this particular one. Help us really appreciate the difference or the balance in the ecosystem when it comes to dealing with this issue that we have on our hands, both chemical and non-chemical.
Thank you very much. Chemical control, we all know that is the use of these substances that can kill the pest instantly or within a short period. But then the non-chemical part, it's a physical, biological control and sanitation aspect of pest management. So if we want to have a balance, we advise that the farmers should select pesticides properly. They should not select the broad spectrum pesticide. They should select those that are narrow spectrum so that they don't wipe out all insects, because all the insects in the crop environment, they are all not pests, as we mentioned some time back. We have the beneficial ones inside. So if you spray a broad spectrum pesticide, you are killing everything, but the narrow spectrum ones will select and the beneficial ones will be left to work for us. Then judicious use of pesticide is also very, very important. Farmers shouldn't just see one insect or two, then they start spraying. They should make sure that they monitor the farm, they scout and see the effect of the insect pest before they embark on the spraying. Then I will advocate that farmers should adopt integrated pest management, which involves all the strategies that are involved in pest management. As and when it's necessary to spray, then you use the chemicals. So farmers should not embark on the calendar way of spraying. Like you spray, you plant cowpea beans today, then they will tell you in 2 weeks' time, apply the first chemical. What are you spraying? Have you seen any insect pests damaging the cowpea or the beans before you want to spray? That we should avoid a calendar way of spraying. Then,
so the calendar way essentially means that whether
there is pest or not,
you are just spraying.
Yes, after 2 weeks, yeah. You have to spray. Then thereafter, 3 weeks' time, you have to spray. This one, all this will affect the cost of production. It will raise the cost of production. So farmers should desist from doing that. And in selection, they should make sure they select pesticides that do not persist in the soil. Mm-hmm. Because in the soil, we have organisms that also are beneficial. They also turn the soil around for us to get a good soil for production.
I mean, for every leg of the conversation, one of the issues that we've spoken about heavily is about the kind of collaboration, assistance, or help. But maybe specifically, Eric, when it comes to pesticide application, what kind of collaboration is needed with which agency and in which form and shape should it take?
All right, so we have a lot of stakeholders, in the pesticide management value chain. So every one of these stakeholders is very critical in ensuring the safe use of pesticide with the purpose of reducing risk. So one, we are looking at the role of the regulator, which is the EPA. Every now and then they are coming up with interventions that will ensure that low mammalian toxicity, type of pesticides are registered for farmer use, and that I think is a good thing, because if you take the pesticide register we have currently, you will see that most of the class 1 pesticides are not listed. Class 1 pesticides by World Health Organization's classification are very toxic, so you see that the EPA is moving away from registration of such pesticides.
They are rather extremely toxic. Mm. Extremely toxic.
Okay, so we're talking about the role of the EPA in the registration of pesticides. So currently, if you look at the register, they are trying as much as possible to delist the class 1 pesticides that we have on the market. So class 1 pesticides by World Health Organization's classification are those that are very toxic or extremely toxic. So the EPA is trying as much as possible to delist those ones. And once this is done, I think we would reduce the risks of pesticides poisoning. Secondly, the PPRSD. We are critically in the trying to develop and adopt pest management strategies that are environmentally friendly. So we are championing the use of the biological controls. I think in one of the episodes we elaborated very much on what we are doing in terms of the biological control methods. Then we can talk about the research institutions, the universities. They are also developing the botanicals, the biologicals, which are low in toxicity. So the farmers as well, what they have to do is to actually tap into adopting these methods that the universities and the PPRSD are developing, the pesticide management options that PPRSD and the universities, the research stations are developing, so that they will move away from the very toxic chemicals that we have in the system. Extension is also in the mix. They are doing very well. Agricultural extension agents, they are the main, carriers of information to the farmers. So they bridge the gap
in terms of information between experts and the farmers. They are doing their bit. So, like I would always say, it's a shared responsibility. Every stakeholder in the value chain should do his bit so that we sustainably use and manage pesticides in the country. Mm. Thank you.
In ensuring that each and everyone in the value chain does his or her bit, let's remind ourselves with do's and don'ts when it comes to application of pesticides, even as we conclude this episode. Copperfield, you take the do's, maybe you can give us three do's, and then Eric will come in with the don'ts. So let's a quick exercise here.
Yeah, thank you. Farmers are supposed to make sure they use good spraying machines to deliver on their application. Leaking spraying machines will not be healthy for them. So it's very, very important. They read the label before applying or mixing the product. In addition to that, they should also make sure that the PPEs are put, they put on the PPEs before mixing and applying the product. Thereafter, they should also make sure that they wash. They shouldn't think that, oh, after application today, there was no stain on the PPE, so I'm just leaving it here. No, anytime they embark on spraying, they should make sure they wash the PPEs. Thank you.
All right, so with the don'ts, we can look at one of the critical environmental elements that will affect a person who is applying pesticide. So it is very wrong to spray during a windy weather. You don't have to do that. It can easily get drift onto your body. Chemical will drift onto your body, and that will lead to serious contamination. It is also very important not to eat during spraying. If you do that, you would accidentally or unintentionally ingest pesticide, and that will be detrimental to your health. Talking about eating, it's also very important not to drink, not to smoke, not to chew anything during pesticide application. So in all of this, it's very important to prepare yourself very well when going into any pesticide application exercise. So you eat, you drink very well before you do all of this.
All right, thank you, Eric and Copperfield. It's been great having you on the City Business Edition today. We have been talking pesticide application. Thanks to the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International, CABI. CABI is an international, intergovernmental, not-for-profit organization that improves people's lives worldwide by providing information and applying scientific expertise to solve problems in agriculture and the environment. And their PlantWise Plus initiative is to tackle these challenges head-on by following some three impactful, you know, pathways, which is pest preparedness, farmer advisory, as well as pesticide risk reduction. That's why we had Eric Jimadu, Assistant Director of Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, Ministry of Food and Agriculture, as well as Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate at the Ministry of Food and Agriculture as well. This has been the City Business Edition on 97.3 City FM. My name is Ni Lati Lati. Thank you very much for listening.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Bernard Abeko Ochrie, hi everyone, and welcome aboard to Friday's edition of Kickoff This Morning on the City Breakfast Show. In the headlines today, Liverpool have been kicked out of the Europa League despite the 1-0 win over Atalanta last night. I'll run you through the results from the Europa League plus the latest from the Ghana Premier League and some updates from tennis.
Well, we start from the corridors of the National Sports Authority, and Director General Dodi Numekevor has committed to maintaining the Accra Sports Stadium pitch in excellent condition for the commemoration of the 105th birthday of the Chief Imam. Plans are underway to hold a football match between Kumasi Asante Kotoko and Great Olympics in honor of National Chief Imam Sheikh Osman Nuhu Saributu on April 28th.
The National Sports Authority will recognize the fact that the National Chief Imam stands for peace, and he is the symbol of everything that this country stands for: peace, unity, dignity, freedom, justice, fairness, and all the good accolades that you can think about. So for us, we are not only honoring him on the 23rd, on his birthday, but we are also doing something to bring peace. Because all these beautiful football matches that we see around Ghana would not be possible if this country does not know peace. And so we thought it wise to put this together to honor him and his birthday and to bring meaning to the things that he stands for. So I would want to say here and now that we are ever ready. We'll put all our facilities here at the Accra Sports Stadium at the disposal of the Chief Imam and his people and all the football teams for us to have a very successful game.
Dodi Numekevor is the Director General of the National Sports Authority. Elsewhere in Kumasi, the Asante Hene Otumfuo 32nd has challenged the players of Kotoko to prove that they are capable of turning the club's horrible form around. He said this in address to the team in a meeting held yesterday as Kotoko endures a torrid time in the ongoing season. Kotoko are 11th on the league log after their latest defeat to Dreams at the Theatre of Dreams. On the pitch, Kotoko will take on Samatex at the Babaya Sports Stadium on Sunday in match week 27 of the Ghana Premier League. In other fixtures, Legon Cities versus Hearts of Oak, Kerala United versus Accra Lions, Bafokatano take on Bechim United, Real Tamale United facing Swatraman, Ghost Stars versus Adriana Stars, Hearts of Lions versus Nations FC, and Brekum Chelsea versus Mediama SC. Away from the Ghana Premier League, now to the London Stadium. All right, so Xabi Alonso has broken Antonio Conte's Juventus record during the 2011-2012 season for the longest unbeaten run in all competitions by a team from Europe's top five leagues, 44. It was down to Jerome Frimpong's equalizer against West Ham United doing the magic for the German side. We hear from Xabi Alonso after his side's progression to the semifinals of the Europa League.
Another semi-final for you. Brilliant result tonight to keep that unbeaten run going as well. Firstly, just tell us how tough West Ham made that for you, especially in the first half.
We were ready that they were going to try to push us really hard, but to be honest, they have done really well the first 45 minutes. We had so many problems against their high pressing. We were not comfortable in our structure, trying to find the free one. They were sometimes jumping to our double six, and we were not able to find flow, even with that we had the chance. So we had, especially in the first 10-15 minutes, some soft, easy lost balls around our box, and the momentum from West Ham, they had the feeling that they had that. They have scored that goal. And yeah, to be honest, the best thing in halftime was the result. We were not in our best. Happily, we had a reaction. In the second half, we have changed a little bit few things. The intensity was better, and we have seen a better second half. And at the end, with the Jerry's goal.
You heard from Xabi Alonso, his Bayern Leverkusen's coach. Now let's have a feel of what transpired last night.
Here's Frimpong. Deflected! Oh, they've done it! Despair for West Ham United! Leverkusen at level on the night, and they're surely going through to the semi-final. Jeremy Frimpong via a deflection. Nothing Fabianski can do about that.
To some other results from the Europa League and Liverpool's hopes of ending Jurgen Klopp's reign with an European trophy are over after they failed to overturn a first-leg deficit against Atalanta. In the all-Italian derby, Roma progressed to the Europa League semi-final by beating rivals AC Milan at Stadio Olimpico. Marseille through to the Europa League semi-final after beating Benfica 4-2 on penalties at the Stade Velodrome. Or wrapping up with some tennis, and Emma Raducanu set up a blockbuster meeting with world number one Iga Swiatek at the Porsche Tennis Grand Prix in Stuttgart after defeating Czech teenager Linda Noskova last night. We hear from Raducanu, who says she's looking forward to facing world number one Iga Swiatek in the quarterfinals of the Stuttgart Open.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we played here 2 years ago in the quarters again, so it's exactly the same. But yeah, I guess I've come a long way since 2 years. I mean, I've matured a lot, and she's obviously achieved so much. So for me tomorrow, it's a match where I have nothing to lose. I can just swing and enjoy it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully recover in time. And yeah, we're good.
That's your sports on the City Breakfast Show this morning. For more sports, citysportsonline.com has got more stories for you. Kickoff is proudly brought to you by Shell, Leshell, and Zonda. I am Bernard Abekoachi. Sports is life. Get involved.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city97.3, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
John, Mr. J, baby.
Ghetto girl, you're my lifeline.
She was there for me, bought for me, paid for me, very softy, never bought with me. Once they deliver, won't get rubbing. She had the type of
let's get to love. One of the classics. I'm a Bravo and Stone Boy. Oh, I love it. And we are dedicating this to some special people who are celebrating their birthdays today. Stone Boy says, Yida ka kwenye nyonu vi yisi malo.
Kwenye nyonu vi yisi malo. My empress says she love me so she give me some more.
happy birthday going out to Madame Comfort Ekufu, chief executive of Donak Special Foods. Best in local delicacies at Kandap behind the Jubilee House. Okay. You share your birthday with your mother, Mary Efumwa. And this is coming from all the workers, customers, such as, oh, Elvis Darko, I see. And his Friday group. And on behalf of all your customers, they say live long in good health and keep feeding them with good sumptuous meals. Happy birthday, Madame Comfort Ekufu. Well, this song is a vibe. I love it. Ghetto Love is the title.
Yeah.
It works my morning good.
Exactly. Let me use the opportunity to celebrate a good friend of the station.
Mm.
CNN Kote.
Okay.
AKA a member of the Macho Men for Christ, you know, fraternity.
I see. Macho Men for Christ.
Yes, you know, if you see a big bole, the man just whole body.
I see.
You know, you know, when the president goes to parliament, you will see some bole people in the background.
Yes.
Aha, he's one of them.
Oh, I see.
CNN Kote. He's a member of the ICGC church. He had a number of things.
Mm.
In parliament, you see him, you know, doing his job.
Oh, boy, Juma.
Bole. Numo, today is your birthday. Numo, chale, Numo ajobo. Numo ajobo. Numo, Numo ajobo. Numo ajobo. Numo ajobo for everything.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So CNN.
CNN Kote.
Okay. Happy birthday. Yeah. CNN Kote. No, it'd
be main man.
Nice one.
Episode.
That's a good one. Sky, there are a number of wishes coming through as well. This one says, wish my lovely wife, Deborah Asamoah Zilavu of Kolebu Polyclinic, a happy birthday. She's a succinct reflection of God's blessings in our life. The kids and I do dearly love her and cherish her. From your husband, Stanley Zilavu of UNDP Ghana. Happy birthday going out to you, Deborah Asamoah Zilavu. Happy birthday, Nana Asian and Gifty Etia, all of the tax and regulatory department at Deloitte. From your country managing partner, Daniel Kujo Owusu, and all the staff of Deloitte Ghana. Happy birthday, Nana Asian and Gifty Etia. It's also the birthday of Grace Dente. From the Dente family to you, we love you. May the good Lord continue to bless you and direct your steps and lead you to heights and expand your territory. Michelle Dente and the family send her through. A good number of people are celebrating their birthday today.
Yep. Let me take you to this one, to our own Francis Doji.
Mm-hmm.
The TV sales manager. Is that not his post?
He's a big
man. No. Charlie, no, you be big man.
It's today's birthday.
Yeah. I'm told that today is his birthday.
Oh, right.
Chief Francis, talk me. Egbenye Ojibeza. May God bless you.
Dragbe.
Yes, Dragbe. Mm-hmm. May you enjoy today. I know every time we day your neck, where are the sales? You are always out there looking for the money. No, this day, let people call you and tell you that, look, we are increasing our location to City FM. To celebrate the work that. So, God bless you, Francis Degbo.
Another resourceful gentleman we have here, Bright. Hey. Today is your birthday.
Mm.
Happy birthday, Bright. And happy birthday to Alex Apaudede. 63 looks good on you. May you enjoy a joyous celebration reflecting your character, kindness, and exceptional leadership. This is from the entire staff of KGL Group. Happy birthday, sir. Asamoah, baby. You see how we click on that, baby. I don't feel like it, don't kind of mighty. Uju, 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 uju. We'll be looking at the train conversation very shortly. From Tema to Mpakadan, it's a 97-kilometer stretch. Government has procured a train. Two of them, one is here already. And yesterday, a bizarre incident happened during its testing. We'll look at that. Because already, when it comes to our road sector, This morning during the newspaper review, we told you that at least 609 people died nationwide in road crashes during the first quarter of this year. I mean, whatever it is, the police are investigating what's caused that, and the driver who left his truck on the railway track has been picked up for investigation. But if we are going to have trains, which we do need, because this particular one is supposed to be 1,000 kilometers from Tema Port all the way to Burkina Faso on the Eastern Corridor, we need our trains very much. But these issues that come with them is also raising concerns, and we need to have a panoramic view of that sector, so we'll have a conversation on that. In the meantime, Les Sherho says, are you ready to power up your finances and unlock your path to prosperity? Are you ready to watch your investment grow with confidence? The Les Sherho fixed deposit solution is your best option. With Les Sherho's fixed deposit solution, you are not just investing, you're making your money work harder for you so you can watch your wealth grow. So don't settle for average returns. Join the investment revolution with our fixed deposit solution and take charge of your financial future. Call us on 02700-40799 or send us a WhatsApp on 02700-40733 to learn more. The clock is ticking. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Invest wisely, invest with Les Sherho. Les Sherho, let's improve life. There is a simple truth about love. It drives us to give off our very best in the same way Shell fuels drive your car to peak performance. That's why every car loves Shell. With over 100 years of innovation, you won't just be buying any fuel, but the most advanced fuels, which will save you money in the long run. How? Shell fuels with Dynaflex technology are Shell's most advanced fuels designed to prevent deposit buildup and keep your engine clean and protected. They are also designed to help save fuel and get extra kilometers from each tank fill, so you can do more in your day. So drive into a Shell station today and fill up your car with Shell fuels designed for engine efficiency and performance, and give your car the love it needs for better journeys. Go well. Sky, you know, the last time I was on the Elizabeth line, so it's the latest line, is the latest addition to the UK's railway lines and all of that. One thing that struck me was, you know, at every point they would tell you the next station you're getting to, and from there where else you are going. It's a very similar system. But another thing I noticed, I mean, besides please mind the gap, which I first heard the first time I went to the UK, was the fact that if you noticed anything suspicious, if you saw anything suspicious, you could report, and they would announce a number you could call, and then the screen was rolling, so even if you couldn't hear, you could see that, oh, there you're going to this other station. But they're also telling you that if you see anything suspicious in the train, around the train, or around the tracks, you could call and report, you know. So I mean, it's one thing that has been on my mind since I heard of the bizarre incident test drive on the Tema Mpakadan railway line. Told a driver of a truck just drove up, and if you've seen the photos of the tracks, it's a heap, you know, it's quite steep, made of, you know, boulders, and then the railway tracks are on top of that, and then the driver of a truck is able to park there. The minister yesterday in his interview with Tumaro Sanda said that according to eyewitnesses, they saw the driver, he just drove up and they just abandoned the truck and left, and people are speculating something that there is a sabotage over there. We saw in the papers where something, it could be from within, where people are trying to register or protest some lack of payment or delays that have not come. Others think it's external. All of those things, the police will be dealing with them. But for me, I'm thinking that it's raising deeper issues of security and a more comprehensive system that will make the railway system we are looking to roll out finally, you know, more efficient. Do we have CCTV cameras on the tracks already? If those who saw it, the eyewitnesses who saw it, knew that there was a test drive, was there a line they could call to report that, oh, we have seen this happen? And for those who are manning the system internally from the control room,
did they have CCTV cameras where they could see ahead of them? Because even in the minister's conversation with Sander, he mentioned that they had gone onto the tracks doing previous test drives or previous test drives in maintenance tracks. And while they were doing that, they saw that people were washing their clothes, leaving it, you know, driving their things on the line and all of that. So I'll play the minister's voice so we hear that quickly, and then we'll go into the cracks of this conversation. But Nathan Gwal is here, Richard Delasky, and oh, Abonte Father is in the studio, man. Baba Sam, it's been a while. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Charlie, I'm off watching your mark of packet track.
Charlie. You know Bishi. This is Bishi.
I don't get it.
But we see this kind of thing every day on our roads.
Yes. Yes.
You see that conduct. We see it on our roads.
It everywhere.
Every day. We've seen it. Now we've accepted that it's part of us. You understand? That people just leave their tracks anywhere on the roads.
Yeah.
And at times they sleep by the tracks. Yeah. And whatever will happen should happen.
Yeah.
Right in our cities, on the highways, in the night, at dawn, dusk. And we are happy with it.
And sometimes people run into these stationary
and we just invested so much money into what promised to be a good solution to bridge the gap between the northern sector and the southern sector. Yeah. And just the trial, this is what we have seen. We just thank God that there were no fatalities in this because the train apparently wasn't speeding.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if
Let's bring you the voice of the Minister John Peter Mewu. He is responsible for railway. After that, we'll delve into this some more.
Yeah, today I talked with Gregory about 12:15. The ministry, in collaboration with our Polish engineers, with the Ghana Railway Development Authority and the company, conducted a test run. And from kilometer zero, which is at the workshop, Tema, towards kilometer 98 at Mpakadan. On approaching kilometer 76, a Kia truck passed right across the rail line, you know, stationary. And, you know, it was in a curve. So as the train approached, the driver tried to apply the static brake to enable the train stopped. But because it was very close to the Kia truck, unable to stop and therefore run straight into it. The engineers are currently working on it. The train has been brought back to the workshop. The Kia driver himself has reported himself to the police station. But the conduct of the driver as of now cannot be well explained. And the good one is that all the passengers and the inspectors on board the train, of course, none of them got injured. And we are currently in the process of assessing the damage to the train. Technically, I would say the train is still in very good form. Nothing in terms of electrical or the engine has been disturbed, except the front that got slightly damaged. The Polish engineers who were assembling the train are in charge, expected to be handed over to government, but government had not yet taken a complete ownership of the train. So we are hoping that the insurance company will work on it as quickly as possible for it to put this train back on the line.
So where exactly did this happen, these accidents? The kilometer 76.
Kilometer 76. That's getting quite close to Mpakadan. Yeah.
So it had crossed the Volta River by then?
Precisely.
I see. Talk to us about... So you said everybody on board was safe.
Everybody is safe, yeah.
The Kia truck driver has reported himself. There were no passengers on the Kia truck, I presume.
My brother, it was quite an unfortunate incident because what we were told, eyewitnesses, said categorically that they saw the Kia driver he drove his truck, then went and passed straight across the rail line, came down from the car, and then vanished. And so nobody know what, you know, prompted him to do that. The intention is not quite clear. I don't want to read any ill motives into it at this stage, but I can assure you that the police are in charge of the investigation, and at the appropriate time, we'll feed Ghanaians with what actually happened.
Was the test run publicized so that someone may know that a train is going to pass through a certain point at a certain time? And I'm talking about possibility of someone doing this on purpose. Was this test run advertised or publicized?
Well, of course, the engineers, they normally use this the maintenance track on the line. So, of course, they inform people, you know, by that this thing is going to be conducted. And this is a train line, you know, which the maintenance vehicle always flies on it. So, yes, of course, communities along knows that this process is ongoing.
Could there also be a possibility that they do not know that it's going to be used by a regular train? Because, you know, it's a new line, which
I
is
agree,
not...
I agree perfectly with you, but as our culture needs to change as a country. You don't... This is a train line. It's been constructed not quite long, but they are constantly... the maintenance track, you know, run on that line almost every day. So, under no circumstances would you have to drive your car and park on it.
Even the
maintenance track. I was on the maintenance track just about 2 days ago. We were taking a drive from Tema to Mpakada. We had to stop almost about five stops because people were sleeping on the line. People were, doing all kinds of things, drying. People were washing their things and drying in across the line. So I agree that we need to do a lot of education, you know, as human as we are and people from, you know, this part of the world. We will continue to do that kind of education, which I agree perfectly with you.
Even busy lines like the one at Circle is a place where goods are exhibited for sale. People only move them when the train is coming. So it's really going to be a difficult one. I don't know what you're going to do because you can't police the track every day, 24 hours a day. And at intersections that you have done overpasses, that shouldn't be a problem. But because you have a lot of intersections where roads are crossing the rail line, I don't know what you're going to do. Maybe level crossings, how are you going to deal with that? Put people at those stations? It's going to be a lot of work, isn't it?
This particular line is a modern line. You know, if you look at the underpass and the overpasses that have been constructed along this line, we don't expect anybody to cross this train line. The designers have taken all this into consideration. So if you ride down from kilometer zero to, you know, Mpakadam, you see a number of underpasses and overpasses. Okay. So this is not like the old ones where you have, you know, people crossing left and right. If you want to cross and the train is moving, you either go underpass or you go overpass, depending on the kilometer at which you are. As much as we continue to do the education and the training of the people around, it's also expected that as a country, we should begin, you know, to change some of this attitude. I agree with you that the old lines people are there, but those ones, because there are no underpasses and overpasses, this one has been constructed to feed the modern practices.
So that's the sector minister John Peter Amewu there. So if you listen to what he's saying, if you look at the infrastructure that has been built, there are even underpasses and overpasses for vehicles to, you know, move across the various railway lines. So how this particular driver decided that the best place he could move was to drive across the track and even just park it there still remains, you know, a mystery that I think the police will help us unravel. But I mean, it reveals to us a deeper concern that we have a cultural issue that you know, persists on our roads that we need to actually deal with before we see worse things happen on our railway lines, you know. Because, like you were saying, people will just be driving and just park in the middle of the road. They'll just park sometimes in a sharp curve on the highway. They'll just drop things there.
I don't know whether maybe the system is not punitive or deterrent enough to, one, stop people from doing that, and to force a culture or behavior change, because it beats my imagination how we've been We've been doing a lot of road safety campaigns and trying to change people's attitudes on the roads. But things aren't changing. That's why I'm asking whether it's a punitive problem or maybe, I don't know what it is. But culturally, there's something very wrong with how we do things when it comes to roads or transport and all. You mentioned that, look, people drive around, trucks, for example. They have no triangles to warn you when they break down. And they are just sitting on the highways. Now, add the fact that a lot of our roads are very dark after hours, and you have a very dangerous combination of you could be driving and all of a sudden a truck just appears. There's no warning. And like I said, because the roads are dark, it makes it very, very dangerous. Recently, if you go through the details of, say, Kwame Eugene's road crash, for example, the episode he had, you know, and he ran into a stationary truck just this morning. Just this morning, one of the stories I read in Kumasi, a police officer riding his bike ran into a stationary truck. So we do have a big, big problem when it comes to trucks that get damaged in the middle of the road. There are no warning signs. Nobody is redirecting traffic. And we are all just left to figure things out by ourselves. That has led us here to a point where a truck is there, stationary, across a train track.
And this is not even a busy line for me. It's leading me to ask that it's a 97-kilometer railway track too long for us to install CCTV cameras on? Because there is a curative part and the preventive part, all of that, right? So could the people in the control room not have seen ahead? You know, how far ahead can they see? Do we not have CCTV cameras where in the control room you can say, okay, start applying your brakes because Sangbese has parked this truck somewhere. Yeah. So that we know that our people, we have attitudinal issues. So that while we are dealing with that through public education, then we are also using technology to ensure the safety and the investment that we have put into this. So we can, you know, safeguard it for ourselves in the future, because test drive.
I think it's a failure on many fronts, if you look at it. I mean, the failure, we took too many things for granted, okay? Because we're doing, as they call it, a regular or preliminary test drive. Yeah. They did not engage all the intelligent features of the train, you know. So it was just, let's test the rail track and see. And I think that they took for granted. Assuming that the rail tracks will be free and of such obstructions, but as we have come to see as a cultural menace in this country, the person who I forget the name of the village where the thing happened, but this person sees on television that in Dome people are sitting building on rail tracks and nothing happens to them. He sees that in parts of Kumasi, Edum, people are selling on rail tracks and nothing happens. And so his vehicle breaks down in trying to cross a rail track at an unauthorized place.
Yeah.
Okay, and he thinks that it's normal to leave it there and go wherever, and then when he is okay, he will come back and move it. And whose fault is that? I mean, he has been silly. He has been very stupid in doing it the way he did it. But isn't that what they see all the time? That nobody really gets punished for doing things like this. You are driving, as Nathan was saying. Somebody just leaves their vehicle. I mean, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then why are we like this? We sit here, we talk about these things, and is the responsibility of people in government, people in office to execute the mandate that's been given to them. Nothing happens. It becomes a national issue when the fatality is connected to somebody in the higher realms of politics, then it's a problem. But how do we explain to Sky, how did we fund this project again?
The minister said we paid for it outright. I don't know whether it's a loan with or
government of Ghana money.
There's some loan component. Yes, I think also there's also.
Look at us. We go and take loan. If indeed we did, whichever way, we don't have money, and then we are trying hard to solve a problem, but we forget that the mindset.
We have a software issue.
Yes, we have a software issue. The mindset issue is rotten. It is rotten on every front. We talked about Odo, Kole Lagoon. When we spend money on the infrastructure part, we let go of the mindset part. While we are deserting, people are pouring garbage into it. People are actually deliberately filling it with sand so they can build their houses on the thing. And we look unconcerned. We're helpless. Accra Kumasi Road. Look at Damasaman Road. There's construction going there. And yet people leave tracks in the middle of that road. So you see the thinking of Ghanaians. And there are some people, even in the midst of what we are dealing with, you go and check the whole track again. You'll be shocked what you see. The failure on our part is that if a rail track is no more in active use, what you do as a country or as a community is that you decommission it. You decommission it. You don't just leave it to rot.
So, as you know, the Apenkwa Highway, if you're getting off onto the Accra Tema side.
Who's Apenkwa?
Apenkwa, this is Tesano. So, before you get
That's what Yes.
A truck broke down last week. Like 3 days, it was still there or more.
Yes.
3 days or more, it was still
there. Where exactly?
Oh, from in the from the Tesano.
Okay.
Yes. So if you are coming
going
from
down
Abofu, you want to come down towards Tesano or towards more than 3 days, the thing was still there.
And the when the, you know there. The funniest part, when they repaired it, they took their time, went to bring another truck.
Thank you.
To come and load back offload
before they remove everything off the road. No sense of urgency. Like that?
And nobody gets punished.
Nothing happens. There's no consequence for bad behavior.
At all.
So the thing keeps going on. In Ghana,
no consequence for bad behavior, especially on our roads. And we are happy giving statistics of accidents. And then the police will come. This year, we were able to reduce the accident. You didn't do anything to reduce any accident, though. Because the stupidity that we display on our roads.
Every day.
Somebody can park, especially the truck drivers, they park and then they are chatting. And if you like, go and try and tell him something. The insults that you receive.
It will over you.
So this is the behavior. Look, this real thing is a very, very important part of the capital intensive.
Yes. Yeah, just to give you the information. So I'm on railwaytechnology.com, financing of the project. This is an article published in 2022 concerning this particular project. It said the railway project is being funded by the Export Import Bank of India, an export finance institution owned by the government of India. Now, the India-based Exim Bank has pledged funding to support the project's design and construction. It is providing the funding in the form of a buyer's credit under the National Export Insurance Account. Now, the Parliament of Ghana has approved $230 million budget for the purchase of the rolling stock for the project. So that's just one arm of
Indian Exim.
Yeah,
the Indian
providing. Exim. And then also, if you go to GhanaBusinessNews.com, $440 million invested. So, in 99-kilometer Tema-Pakadan Railway project, according to the minister.
So, this would include the rail tracks refurbishment.
It would seem, yes.
Or construction, and then the cars.
So, it's a lot of money.
Trains themselves.
So, let me just give you that.
You see, the technicians that came with the train, look, I can bet my last penny that of all the maintenance issues that they projected, this kind of accident wasn't one of them.
They didn't factor this into it.
I mean, who does that? Yeah. That on the first day, somebody will go and leave a truck. Of all the scenarios that you build as a technical person, this stupidity thing will not come in.
Yeah.
That you go and leave and look at the way, as if he carefully parked across the rail track.
Car park.
Sky, this is very dangerous because look, this is just a trial. Can you imagine if this thing
had gone
on at the time when the train was in full flight and with passengers? We just have to declare a day of national mourning because of one person's misconduct, which misconduct is born out of a national issue that we have all turned a blind eye on. This thing happens. You are listening to me in your vehicle and you are witnessing some right now as we talk. Somebody, they leave their truck and they go and they think that it is their right to do that. And the police, the insurance people, they do nothing about it. And at times, the police person, you see police in uniform just passing. And this is some of the police people, when they leave their offices, they take off their uniforms.
Yeah.
Because they'll tell you that, I don't want something to happen in town that I'll be asked that, you know, that because you're in uniform. So they will take their uniform and then wear t-shirt on there and then go.
The day is over.
The day is over. I mean, police is doing so well so far. But we are saying, for instance, if we want to revamp the railway industry, we should even think about rail police.
Yeah.
We should start thinking about rail policing. Because of people like the man who went to park the track there. And then these hooligans who've been going to remove
the train tracks.
The nuts, even the wooden stuff, the plants, they remove everything.
You know, and we've seen this thing in the last 10 years. We have seen this thing increasingly from the Western region, from the Eastern region, Greater Accra region, and now Volta region. And to date, we have not even gone beyond that to pass a law that makes it illegal to buy these things on open market.
Yeah. So there's crops that they
there's
are selling.
There's a market for it. Once there's a market for it, there are two elements involved. There's a supply part and there's a demand part.
How do we solve our problems?
You know that even the metallic rails on the Pokwasi interchange were stolen.
They were stolen before they commissioned it. Abnabimpong was here talking about it. In fact, he is a consultant. He was weeping. Even before they commissioned it, people have started removing the rail furniture.
The covers on the drains on the highways. Our junction.
It was recently.
Now it's there. Thank God. For more than 6 months.
We should wake
Assembly
up.
Assembly had done it twice or three times.
Nathan, you are surprised.
No.
Isn't this the country that even a road that had been constructed, somebody carried Kenten to go and carry the chips on the road?
I remember.
The road construction, the chips that they do. Somebody went to and he was collecting the chips, and then he claimed that that's his portion of the national cake.
And
I'm sure that person is walking around free. I mean, things that destroy the very fiber of this country's. We shouldn't allow these things to happen, and it starts. Small. On the small streets, you are driving in Accra, and then suddenly you meet a place that they said they have blocked the road because they are doing outdoor.
What is happening? Something.
Why?
It just happens with reckless abandon.
Why are we doing this?
They just blocked.
And somebody said that. Oh, but it's their place.
Yeah.
I lived in Accra when I was a kid. Nobody could do this. They will do it maybe in the evening, small in the corner somewhere. But you can't just wake up and block the road
A main road.
They block a main road. Last week, I was in Accra. Same thing. Go to all these suburbs. They block the road because they want to.
Yeah.
And then there are those who decide that after the government has done the road nicely, they go and dig the road and say they are doing speed ramps.
Yeah, there is that too.
They produce them. They make their own speed
ramp. Yes, put some baller speed ramp there. And nobody, you see, nothing happens.
The frustration for me, Samens, is that
today
when we travel.
Sorry, people, you see people do road construction. Some people do it digging by the road.
Yeah.
No identity.
Yeah.
Nothing shows where they are coming from.
True.
And then they dig the thing, do whatever they will do
into the road, into the road, and destroy
and leave it. Yeah. Nothing happens to them. Why? So when we do this and we come and say that we want to develop, we should know that we are lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
Development is not just captured in infrastructure. You start by developing your mind.
The mindset.
Because if we can allow this thing to happen, where we live, on our streets, on our roads, on our highways, why are we surprised that it's going to our rail tracks? Why should we be surprised?
So where should we start this from? Because, I mean, when Ghanaians leave this jurisdiction and go to other places, you find us to be very law-abiding people.
It's because as much as we are in this same environment, punishes. There is a consequence, right? When you jump a red light, there is a consequence. When you break the law, there is a consequence.
Yeah.
And you will be found. Mm. You cannot escape forever. But it is not the same here. And like we've highlighted, so many trucks parked by the wayside, no reflectors, nothing, no triangle, nothing. They are left unattended to. People misbehave on the road. Nothing happens to them. People dig. These days, I give them credit. The young men who try to fill the potholes here and there. But bottom line, all I'm saying is that people do things. They can get away with it because there's no consequence.
You know?
Nothing. There's no price to pay. You understand? It's not painful. When you do this, the system doesn't punish you to a point where you are not excited by a second attempt. But because somebody does it and they get away with it, the next person feels that I can do more. Do a lot more. And that indiscipline goes, I mean, you can walk away from trucks and things, even human behavior. Recently, I've been seeing this, and somebody even sent me a message. You drive around, people in traffic, somebody just gets out of their car and they are peeing by the way. Why? And there's no consequence.
I would get into this some more because there's a theory, the broken window theory, that explains how leaving things unchecked can actually exacerbate, you know, crime and destruction such as this. But before then, we have some announcements that I'll bring to you. Nathan has a few more, but you can join us, join the conversation 0549-986-996. We are seeing that our indiscipline on the road is reflecting on our railway tracks even before we commercialize or operationalize them. How do you think we can solve this? How do we deal with our software issues so that when we build the superstructure, we don't destroy it by ourselves? Quick announcement for you. Join us via 0549-986-996 and then we will share your thoughts with the world as well. But Nathan?
Well, yeah, APSA is saying that 259 stories are born every minute and these 259 stories are unique and they include yours as well. They are inspired and they want to hear your story. Your story matters. APSA Bank. Now, the VW Tijuana All Space is on sale and if you buy that, you are saving an extra 30,000 CDs. Take advantage now. Drive Ghana, drive Volkswagen. Contact VW Ghana on 025-795-6688. And if you want a career, a great career in agribusiness and AT Vet, the Ghana Growth Program is here for you. It's brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Embrace agri and AT Vet careers with Ghana Grows. Call 0308-255-775 to find out more. And the Zenith Fan Form promo is here. Get your Zenith MasterCard from now to the end of April, and it's free at any Zenith Bank branch nationwide. And get to enjoy 2 free deliveries each month when you use your card on Glovo from now to the 20th of October 2024. T's and C's apply. Zenith Bank in your best interest.
And Standard Water has over 25 years of experience in providing quality and refreshing water to quench your thirst. This refreshing water brand is available in 11 regions of Ghana and we are still expanding to cover the rest of the country. Standard Water gives you the following product offering: sachet water, bottled water, dispenser mounted jar water, customized water for your parties and other special occasions.
Standard Water is available for purchase from supermarkets, retail shops, and sales delivery trucks. Standard Water, for inquiries and purchases, call 0202-055-703 or 0547-334-385. This advert is FDA approved. And every time you eat, food and sugars are trapped between your teeth, leading to tooth decay, gum disease, and in some cases, foul breath. Brushing your teeth every morning and night with Pepsodent Cavity Fighter gives your teeth the protection they need, leaving you with 10 times stronger teeth. Pepsodent Cavity Fighter is fortified with pro fluoride and microcalcium ingredients, sealing tiny and invisible holes in your teeth. This prevents cavities, keeps your teeth strong and your mouth healthy. Pepsodent Cavity comes in various sizes for the family, so you can always get what you can afford at any time. Pepsodent is recommended by the Ghana Dental Association. Pepsodent gives you the opportunity to talk to a dentist toll free, so call 0800-161-000 to talk to a dentist. You can call our customer care center on toll free also, 0800-200-030. Pepsodent, every smile matters. So, a bit of science to explain our human behavior and how we can use some of these scientific, you know, research to help deal with our software problems, right? So there is a psychologist called Felipe Zambado. Let me just, this is on the page, if you just check. Broken window theory. Nathan, you've seen, you take us through what Felipe Zambado is saying, otherwise I could do that quickly. Good. So the broken window theory states that visible signs of disorder and misbehavior in an environment encourage further disorder and misbehavior, leading to serious crimes. So if there are visible signs of disorder and misbehavior in the environment, it always leads to serious crimes. It always exacerbates it. So Felipe Zambado is simply saying, he's a psychologist and he conducted an experiment in 1969 that later became one of the most famous experiments in the studies of criminology, particularly in social science in general. He left two cars unlocked, I'm talking about cars, unlocked doors and missing number plates in two different areas, one in a poor neighborhood and the other in a rich neighborhood. Now, the passersby in the poor neighborhood started stealing and vandalizing the car within a few minutes. It was completely destroyed in 3 days. It took longer for passersby in the rich area to start destroying the vehicle. So this forced Zambado to intervene by breaking one of the car windows before people started breaking more windows and stealing the car in the rich neighborhood. So it took the same time in the poor neighborhood to turn the whole car into scraps a few days. Now, in 1982, two other scholars followed researcher Zambado and his observation by conducting similar studies in different areas, talking about a theory called the broken window theory. It's quoted several places, but it's simply saying that neglecting to address any problem in an environment, no matter how small it is, will negatively affect people's attitudes and behavior towards that environment, leading to bigger problems. So the opposite is also true, that if you address small problems quickly, it will lead to better environment and better behavior. So for example, if you have a public washroom and people are painting graffitis there, if you quickly repaint, I mean, people will get there and they will not, you know, spray or paint things, graffiti the washroom, basically.
They are less likely to.
Precisely.
If the windows are broken in a ministry, in a school, in a government agency, and you leave the windows unattended to, more people think it's allowed for windows to be broken. So the incidence of breakages will increase some more, which is what Zambado calls the broken window theory. So it looks like we've left a lot of things broken. So if you look around town, there are public institutions that are in pristine conditions. There are public institutions that are in pristine conditions because the moment anyone gets there, even if they are found of breaking things or stealing things, they know that, hey, over here, that does not happen. So that's why I was asking about the you know, preventives and the precautionary ones and the security apparatus we've put in place, so that if you have CCTV cameras, you are checking to ensure that
Because the minister said that they went on maintenance trucks to do test drives. And they saw that people were washing their stuff and drying them on the railway tracks. We know that in our country, people dry their coconte and hot pepper, chili pepper by the roadside. Mm-hmm. They are carrying this attitude onto the railway tracks. If we have seen that people were already drying their stuff on the railway lines, how did we check that?
Well, clearly we did not. Clearly we did not. We've allowed the little things to fester. And now we are paying the price for it.
But Nathan, isn't it curious that that is it the minister who said that?
Yeah.
But is it the minister telling us that it was only during the test that they noticed that people were drying their clothes on the tracks?
So clearly they were not observing.
Oh, he shouldn't be saying this in public. That you only noticed that? you mean through...
So what are they doing throughout the construction? There should be daily inspections.
You know there are people protesting for all kinds of reasons, compensation, here and there. So the national security system should be interested in a thing like this.
Yeah.
The national security system should be interested in a thing like this. It's not business as usual. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not business as usual. Because there are people who believe that they need to be compensated for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are people who have been cultured, albeit wrongly, to think that the rail track, you only have to be careful when you see a physical train passing. And then they have also seen that in the town centers, cities, Accra, Kumasi, Takrade, Sekendi, there are old trucks, abandoned trucks that have not been officially decommissioned. But people use them. They have built markets
around. Some live in them.
People live.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
The other day they were trying to move some people away from the rail tracks around there. You see the Nyaho Clinic site.
Yes.
It was a major battle.
Mm-hmm.
And why would it be a battle? Because the people believe that is their right to live there.
They're entitled to the space.
They're entitled to the space. Mm. And somebody said, she has invested in the place. So it means that we have a mindset challenge that we are not paying attention to.
We do.
And it's not today is rail track.
Mm.
Tomorrow, it may be the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the runway. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the motorway. What has become of the motorway? Mm-hmm. And when we talk about it, you expect that something will be done. Nothing gets done.
Yeah.
The people rather look for better ways of messing it up.
Yeah. They bounce back stronger.
Because nothing happens.
Nothing happens. There's no consequence.
Yeah.
So today it's happened to such an important part of this economic recovery thing. Rail transport. Everybody was happy to see this.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of something, you know. Because look, going up north can be a tedious task.
By road.
By road, it can be very difficult.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not even talking about the regular... We are talking about people carrying
luggage, goods,
stuff, traders, and this was the hope of bridging the gap. And then, I'm too sad about this.
Yeah, it's beggars belief.
It's really, really disturbing. It's really, really, really
look,
disturbing.
Your messages have come through, and we'll be reading some of them for you, but. We've been having conversations on the auto show. We've discussed safety tips when you're driving around big trucks. So if you go to Spotify, Jude Duncan had a conversation with his guest yesterday. If you find that on Spotify, you Wonderful. Can listen to how you can be safe around big trucks. Because before you know, some of them, they fail their brakes. And
they are causing all kinds very, of... Very I saw a video a few stuff. Days ago. Yeah. I don't know where. It was I think in one it's on African the city. Country
okay.
of a truck that it's lost its brake, its brake field,
traffic,
and running
right?
traffic and running to, and it turned over.
It was on a city platform.
So disturbing. All right, some messages. Kweku says, these days you see trucks with containers parked on the side or in the middle of the road for days waiting to move to their warehouse. These are all hazards. Come and see the number of trucks parked by the side of the road of the Harbour Road, right from the Tema roundabout through to Community 1. They caused a crash before and they are still parked there. The reason why people walk free from such behavior is that it will cost you a lot if you report this at the police station when the culprit is arrested. Someone stole from my construction site and I have to feed him for being behind counterback and also pay for a police report. That's why the police themselves don't want to be visible at a crime scene. There's a lot of time wasting when you report crimes at the station and nothing is really done to the culprit. That's why some will not choose to report.
That's very true.
Harry from Kaswa. So that's something the police administration will have to look at. The processes involved. Somebody reports a case. They need to fine-tune and make those processes better. Because you see, when we say you want to run a democracy, the police is a key part of it. The police. So when I have a problem or I've been wronged and I report a case, I expect it to be followed through to the end. So the police admin needs to look at that. This one says, a question, in this day and age of technological advancement, don't we have ways of using drones to fly ahead of trains or a live GPS bedside view to have scenes and photos of real tracks to be transmitted to a calibrated time, distance?
We actually do. We actually do. But look, technological interventions are always deployed with assumptions. And one of the key assumptions is that human beings that interact with the technology are rational. That's number one assumption. That if the ATM machine assumes that the human being who will use it is rational and is thinking. As for this type, no machine can detect it. That a human being will wake up in the morning.
Will be so smart.
And then come and park.
Chale.
I mean, this one. No GPS. it will just pick it that there's an object there. But as we are told, they did not engage all the intelligence systems of the train for whatever reason.
I mean, it's good that it was a test run.
Of course. But the test is now showing us what could possibly have happened.
Exactly.
Because there are no physical barriers to prevent people from crossing.
That's another thing.
There are no physical barriers.
The tracks are exposed.
Should we consider that?
Well, at this rate, we should consider a lot of things.
Yeah. Honestly,
the tracks are exposed, so people have access. You can run across when... So clearly it's just there and you can have access. So we need to block off access.
But you know, the interesting thing is that, I mean, we could then be blocking through communities where there are urban areas. But when I even look at the photo where this track park, it doesn't look like
that's that. What I'm saying. That even in even at Circle,
I'm going to do this all through.
Look at where the tracks run through in Accra.
Yeah,
they are not barriers. Space. Go to Circle. The open tracks space. Are there.
We have to wake up.
That's why people sit on them, sell by them, live by them.
If we are going to choose rail transport as a solution to our transportation and logistics problem, we have to wake up. Because, you see, in terms of rail transport and advancement, where it has gotten to, stupidity will not be... look, most of the rail tracks you saw in England, you have electrical current running through it.
That's true.
You die if you attempt doing any silly things.
Yeah. You have electrical current running through them. So you go and do this and you live. You'll be gone by the time the next person sees you.
Yeah.
You'll be electrocuted. And they have it boldly written there.
Yeah.
That if you touch this thing, you will die.
Yeah. So, you know...
anyway,
this is DMU though.
Ohene from Finland says, here in Finland, railway tracks are protected...
Yeah.
With fences, barricades, ditches, and swamps.
Isn't this what I was talking about?
So fences, barricades, for places where you can't get that. You dig a ditch, so nobody gets access, and a swamp.
But you don't leave... You see, when you leave it this way, these things will be having repeated cycles of accidents.
Yeah.
You understand? And it happens to even our road furniture, our road infrastructure. We build a road with a huge, what do you call it, the island between the road. And then we say that people should not cross. You think they won't cross? They will cross.
They will.
There's nothing stopping them.
There's nothing stopping them.
Yeah.
We the other time I drove onto the motorway. Now when you are exiting from Accra Mall onto the motorway,
yes,
there is a barrier. You know the height barrier thing. The
gantry.
There. The gantry. Yes. The gantry there.
Yes.
You know, some truck
attempted
ran into it
because it was higher.
It was higher. And they managed to they dented the thing and managed to remove some of his things and ran through the thing and left it like that. So the thing is damaged.
Public space. Nobody's telling you
because
there.
Nothing will happen. But they forget that there's a reason why that thing was done. So if we don't pay attention to road furniture, you are driving. There are no reflective markings on the road. We don't have anything, no parking. Lights. They put no parking. Yeah. And when you see no parking, where the new parking is, that's where somebody parks.
Thank you. No lights.
And then it's 10, 5 meters away from where somebody has parked at the no parking, there's a policeman chatting with a trotro driver.
Yeah.
And he's very happy.
You know, these little things have a way of keeping us back.
Yeah, it's see, the little things pile up.
Because
let me show you. There's this thing I tell people that the reason why we struggle, it's like when you have a little sore and you don't treat it, right? It festers,
yes.
Becomes infected, it grows. Now we are at a point where we say we want to treat the sore and it becomes so painful that you look at treatment and you say, you know what, let me just manage it because it's too painful to now deal with something that's become very infected. That's where we are because we've allowed little things to develop into big things. Again, I go back to Ohene's message. That's a country that's functioning. Because they know that human beings can do all kinds of funny things, there's a way of stopping you from getting access to the track. But here, no.
So the very infrastructure is put up in such a way that it reduces the incidence of such.
So I'm sure by the time you hear that somebody ran onto a train track in Finland, it's one in so many years.
Yeah.
But look at the situation we are in. On a test run, this has happened.
Nathan, there's a problem with the test run. We can't leave that thing out.
Of course.
You are doing a test run, properly so-called.
Didn't do a surveillance of the track.
Yes.
But from end to end.
No. They said that they did not engage all the intelligence systems of the train. It would have picked the thing. Yeah, it would actually have picked it, that there's an object there.
Mm.
That's okay. What I'm saying is that, and I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying that we couldn't take these things for granted because people have not been educated enough because of our recent past history of abandoned rail tracks. You understand? Abandoned rail tracks, not decommissioned.
Yeah.
Why would you have a rail track in a community which is no more in use and you don't decommission and then educate the community?
Yeah.
You just leave it there. People use it as crap. Now, when people use it as crap, where will be the end of this practice?
Mm.
The moment we create a market for it, every day, this crap voice will go look for it.
Yeah.
And that's why they keep doing their things. Yeah. Look, the national security has been arresting the people all the time. I'm telling you, they've been arresting these people. How they don't announce it and the punishment that is exacted on these people, not publicized for people to know that this is a no-go area. I mean, I find it very disturbing.
But you know something, I'm seeing an article here, cracking down on metal theft and railways. Was this happening in the UK too?
No, yeah, this is, you see, so as a matter of fact, the stealing of rail tracks is
across the world.
Yeah, it's not unique to Ghana, right? And it has largely to do, if you look at literature, to do with the fact that the price of metal, it's quite high up there.
Mm-hmm.
And people always want a quick way to have access to money, or they want to fill their pockets as quickly as they can, using even the most dishonorable means. So where the infrastructure in place to police these metals is not as solid as Samens said, people will always venture. In fact, there have been cases in the UK where, even with the protection, people sometimes cut through to get access to the metal. Sometimes they are arrested. Other times, it takes time to get them, you know, over time.
Keep this one.
Okay.
It happens everywhere. But you also know that in the UK, the average person knows what they are getting themselves into if they engage in this kind of thing. Because the punishment will be advertised for everybody to see. How many times do we hear of people who are punished for this thing? And what kind of punishment?
While you're on board, you're encouraged to report any suspicious thing you see.
Activity, yes.
You know?
Yeah, so you see, so they have a transport police. Samin says that we should consider that.
For real.
Yeah, that's right. So, because it is a huge part of the UK economy. Without the rain, the trains rail, working, the economy will shut down.
You can't do
it. You understand?
Elizabeth Line.
But that is what moves the UK around. Victoria, you have 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 people moving to a stadium.
Yeah.
Within 30 minutes or less,
everybody's
dissipated. That's because true. The system works.
Yeah. Football matches are postponed just because rail track is not working.
Yeah.
They'll postpone it.
Yeah. But that's what moves people like.
Because the thousands of the spectators
when I went in 2015, I remember that I kept seeing this announcement in the train that on a particular day in August, and I was there when it happened.
Yeah,
it turns out the announcement had been running for almost a year
that
on this day in August 2015, train services will not, because the rail workers were going on strike that day.
Hey,
and I think it drew my mind.
A year's notice.
So people knew that on that day, trains would not work. The underground would not work. So buses were twice the number. So I think I was just highlighting that point just to corroborate what you're saying, that the rail industry in UK, for example, is a key part of how they live and how the country functions.
So you see, there's a whole economy around that. And policing it is also critical. Because if bad guys have access to it, they'll kill people, compromise the economy, and mess up everything. So there is thorough surveillance. You see that constantly. The question in our case is whether we are doing these things. Let me draw your attention to a story that was published about a year ago or 2 years ago. You can find a copy of that story on Rainbow Radio Online. It says, metal theft on railways costing us over $200 million. $200 million. How much have we received recently from the World Bank? We had some $360 million. The story says the Deputy Minister for Railway Development, Kwaku Asante Boateng, has disclosed that the country is losing an amount of $200 million to railway lines theft.
$200 million.
$200 million. When you multiply that by 13, you know how much money we are talking about and how many hospitals can be built if the figure that the minister has put out is to be believed. Now, according to the deputy minister, this is affecting the revamping of the rail sector. Addressing journalists on this matter in the Western region, he said the ministry has begun retrieving some of the stolen rail tracks. He lamented that metal theft on the railways is on the rise in Ghana and delaying the progress on initiatives by the government. He said thieves are still attracted to the metals because they are of high value. But the activities of these criminals are depleting the finances of the state. It believes that thieves steal the metals under the cover of darkness and sell them as scrap to their potential buyers. He appealed to communities with rail lines to be vigilant and give information to the police so persons behind the stealing of metals will be arrested and prosecuted. Now, this particular story raises a number of issues. First of all, $200 million, as I said, is a lot of money. We just recently built a hospital or a clinic in Mapo.
$1.5 million health center.
Exactly. It's yet to be properly fitted with all the appliances. But imagine what $200 million can do.
Ouch.
We have taken money from the Indians to build this Impakadan railway in excess of $400 million. So about half of what we collected in loans from the Indians to build what the guy wanted to destroy is what has been stolen in some parts of this country. Because in the middle of the night, someone, and you know, these rail tracks, it's not like some small metal that you can just lift and take. It's heavy. Someone drives a vehicle with electrodes in it, electric cutting device in it or appliance in it, has the goggles that they use, hacksaws and all of that. They take it into the bush. And because if you see the pictures, you notice that a welder, properly trained, used his welding machine, electric welding machine, to actually cut the rail track. And then they load it onto a vehicle.
In the full glare of everybody.
Exactly. And move it from the bushes, probably to a warehouse or to a house somewhere. Now, the question we ask ourselves is, while all of that was going on, nobody saw it. Let's assume that in the middle of the bushes, you don't see those things. Somehow, it left that particular place. They must have driven
the township.
Exactly. They must
bus stops, police check stops.
Exactly.
And everything.
And eventually gets to a destination. They must have offloaded it. And they must have kept it somewhere. Now, they don't keep it there forever. At some point, they have to dispose of it, sell it, in order to get the value that caused them to invest so much time in stealing it. So they took it to someone. Someone must be sitting somewhere
waiting
to receive it and pay money for it. So we are saying that we have become so bad as citizens that along the chain, nobody noticed that something was bad as to say something when they saw something. It is not possible that you bribe a whole community. Let's say that, some security officers saw it and they looked the other way because you gave them. At some point, someone should be good citizen enough to say that, no, this is wrong. Because $200 million lost over time to stolen rail tracks, I mean, that's so much money.
$200 million is a lot of clinics and hospitals and schools.
Exactly. And you know, you go onto the net, we have reported repeatedly some people being arrested in some cases for these theft cases. What we don't see is full prosecution and conviction for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, here's one story. Let me just draw your attention quickly to that. So you go again back on the page. The story is that some two people who were headed for Tema. So Ghana Police Nab Graphic.com has that story. And the story says that it was published on the 23rd day of May. The 2nd day of May 2023. Ghana Police Nab suspects transporting allegedly stolen rail tracks and steel sleepers. Now the story is by Kweku Zurich, and it says the Ghana Police Service has arrested two individuals in connection with the alleged theft of rail tracks and steel sleepers belonging to the Ghana Railway Development Authority. Now the suspects, identified as Ibrahim John and Bashiru Ibrahim, were apprehended while transporting the items to Ferro Fabric Limited, a yard in Tema. Now the suspects claimed that their company had been contracted by the Ministry of Railway Development to transport the items. However, officials from the company were not present at the time of the arrest and have been asked by the police to report to the police to assist with investigation. Now, the police in a Facebook post said the Ministry of Railway Development has also been contacted and officials from the ministry are expected to meet with the police tomorrow to provide further information and assistance in the ongoing investigation. But I've been trying to get a follow-up story on this.
What has become of that?
Exactly. I don't see it. And there are many other stories you see online of people allegedly stealing these things, getting arrested in some cases, but you don't see how these things end up. And you know, it is something that is all over the place. When you arrest a person, it is publicized. If there is a subsequent development, an intervening development, let the people of Ghana know that, oh, the guy, the investigation found that he did nothing wrong, so you let him go. Or that he has been processed, a court found him guilty, and he is serving so-so and so. That is also the job of whoever is responsible for public relations within the Ministry of Railways.
So people know that there is a consequence for stealing.
Exactly. There must be some information out there that the government is doing so much to deal with this particular problem. Now, Samin spoke brilliantly about how we have left this space for all kinds of things to happen. Go to the back of Roman Ridge.
Hmm.
The rail tracks that go there. Mm-hmm. See what people do on the rail tracks.
Between Roman Ridge and Joel.
Exactly. Mm. Yes. People have actually even built kiosks on the rail tracks.
Are you serious?
You go there. Go on there.
You know, usually they put it close to the
you
rail.
You go there.
It's on that thing.
Oh. People are selling. People are cooking. People, all kinds of things on the rail tracks. Now, the question you ask yourself is, as Amens has said, if you no longer require the use of the rail tracks, and for some reason you don't plan to go back to it, decommission it.
Yeah.
Remove the parts. Let's relocate them to areas where we require their use.
Yeah.
Or keep them safe so that nobody goes there to do things they should not be doing.
Yeah.
Now, as you said, if you leave the space unattended, it is a broken window.
Yeah.
People are encouraged now to experiment, to go in and do what they
because
should not be doing.
Because nothing will happen to
exactly.
them.
Exactly. So, I think the state, the people managing the space, have a responsibility to understand that all these things require us to pay taxes so that you run the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we invest so much money every time, you come back to us, pay taxes for this and that and that. $400 million from the Indians, we are going to pay for it.
Mm.
It is not free money.
It's not free money.
So this $400 million, your children will come and pay for it. You might not pay it today, but at some point, the person who holds the coupon will come back and say, please, I want my money, and we have to pay.
With interest.
Exactly.
And we may not have even gotten the full benefit and value of what we are paying loans and interest for.
Exactly. So when you sink money into it, do some work to protect it. Now, the issue of people leaving vehicles on the road. There's a case that a friend of mine, Michael Ziga, drew my attention to. It's Okutu versus the state. The guy was driving somewhere and decided for some reason to leave his vehicle in the road. No warning signs, no triangle, nothing. Then someone else driving smashed into it. People got injured and it was really bad. The guy was convicted for what he did because his action negligently led to people getting harmed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at what we are told, of course, we are not seated with the full facts as to the circumstances surrounding how the vehicle came to be there. We're told that some eyewitnesses saw the guy he drove up and abandoned
the vehicle. Abandoned and left.
Whether it was deliberate or it was just by some accident that the vehicle got spoiled at the time that he got over it, all of that. Those things are matters that the police have got to investigate.
Yeah.
But it is just so bad that in this country, you see people, cars don't just, the fire of the car, what do you call it, the engine doesn't just go off like that. It is in very extreme cases that the fire would, as Ghana would say, die like that. Even when that happens, find a way to push the vehicle or move the vehicle
off the road.
Off the road. You see, the most annoying aspect of this is that you see people, especially the articulated truck drivers, they won't move the vehicle off the road. They won't take immediate action to deal with it. They are under the car or the vehicle sleeping.
It's terrible.
You understand? So, we have a major cultural problem,
a
mindset problem, an idoncareism whatever attitude that leads us to cause people to die every day, get maimed, and the Republic loses a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
When you see something, say something. Of course, I'm reading
How to Run a Country,
a book, How to Run a Country. And you see, and this is by Cicero, I mean, one of the respected philosophers of Rome.
He also wrote How to Win an Election. That's interesting collection.
Yeah, that's right. So somewhere in the book, this is how to run a country. He says, gentlemen of the jury, I do not deny preserving the safety of our state is a steep, difficult, and dangerous path to tread. I will be lying if I said I haven't known and experienced the perils of this road more than most. The forces that attack our republic are greater than those that defend her. Reckless and desperate men need only a small push to urge them to move against our country. But unfortunately, decent people are usually slow to act and ignore dangers until a crisis erupts. They are sluggish and willing to abide with peace without honor, but their own inaction causes them to lose both. Unquote. What does this piece say? You are a decent man in a space. You know that what that driver is doing on the road can either kill someone or kill you yourself. You are sitting in the throttle and he is misbehaving on the road. Because you don't want the rest of your colleague passengers to insult you.
Yeah.
While you are decent, but you want your peace. So you have checked out. Oh, uncle.
So they are willing to live with peace.
So they are willing to continue living with their peace to the extent that they would not suffer any shame immediately. You are living in an office. You know that every Saturday, in the middle of the night, people bring truckloads of rail lines. They come and dislodge it. They come and sell it to your boss. You have seen this thing go on. Meanwhile, you know that the Ministry of Railways hasn't auctioned any of these things publicly, to the best of your knowledge. You have become aware that the people are actually selling the rail tracks they have stolen from the bushes of this country.
But you want to live with peace without
honor. You want to collect your salary at the end of the month. Bed. So you go to bed. The point I'm making is that we do know of this wise saying that evil triumphs when good men do nothing.
Yeah.
When you see evil,
say something.
Say something.
Do something.
The eyewitnesses who were standing there and saw the driver
shocked.
Flee the scene, right? What didn't they? Why didn't they call the guy immediately and tell him that, look, you can't leave your vehicle there?
Yep. Because eventually it gives even the community a bad name.
Exactly.
All of you.
So rush in immediately. Tell him, why do you have a problem? Is there a problem with the vehicle? Can we help you push it off the...
Exactly.
That is what a responsible citizen to do. Look, I learned a bitter lesson someday. I was going to Gimpa. By the time I was Gimpa, you know, I was going to school and then I realized that some guys had... They had their vehicle properly labeled, you know, they were wearing these
overalls
and properly designed. And they were, like, at the time they had just fixed the solar street lights on that street. Yeah. I saw them. I said good morning, good afternoon to them, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought they were
ECG people.
My assumption was that the guys were actually maintaining
the lights.
That's the point I was making.
Yeah.
A few days later, the ministry came to announce that I didn't see the thing again. Yeah. And the ministry came to announce that it had been stolen. They removed everything on the street. The point I'm making is that I failed my republic that day. Perhaps if I had interrogated more, I would have found out that these guys, they are up to no good.
But you would interrogate and it will become a practice if you are assured of a certain protection on your side. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons people just decide, look, let me just go somewhere,
peace.
Is that you are not confident that if you are exposed, the police will come and support you.
Yeah.
You find a policeman and say, hey, a policeman advising you, and at times it will end up wasting your time. That's a problem. If you report and they take it up and move it, then
and deal guarantee with it, your
then
safety.
We are encouraged to do that. How come we have street lights? People are able to climb up and remove the street lights
and take you home
and take it home and go and sell.
And to date, there's no regulation that forbids people from buying these things. This is where my problem is.
Yeah.
So long as there's a market for it, people will continue doing it.
Interesting one is 23 minutes past 9. Our friends from Gepa will join us. We have some quick announcement for you, and some of your messages are in. But we'll take a quick break. Can we take a quick break now? Yes, when we are back, we'll continue at 97.3 City FM, your favorite show in the morning. City Breakfast Show, some messages. Let's take a quick one before we go for break.
Nathan. Okay, just a quick one. This one is something. That truck that destroyed the gantry on the motorway was loaded with canoes to the height of more than 6 meters.
What?
And the canoes were about 3 meters longer than the truck, which measures more than 12 meters. In any serious country, that truck would not be allowed to move on their roads. They had to offload before going under the gantry, and then it was loaded again
and left it damaged. But the question Sky the police will be saw it, is, but what did you do?
So, you see, so that truck was loaded somewhere, like somebody people were called to load it,
yes,
and it left that community, drove through some community all the way to the motorway. Nobody saw that, Papa.
No, he said the police saw it. That's what he said.
The police saw it,
yes,
police saw it
as usual. Yes.
Now, someone's just
sending me, giving up.
Someone's sending me a message. It says, I want to make a contribution to the program. There's a truck loading railway lines at Opa as I type now.
Hey! Opa!
Yeah.
Where is Opa?
No, please supply that information. Let's get to know. We can track this
please,
one.
Please give us the details.
If it's lawful, then we know. If not, we know what to do.
It cannot be lawful.
I mean, how?
It cannot be lawful. I mean, I'm saying it before we even ask the authorities.
Yeah, I'm buying track now.
It cannot be lawful.
This is wild, man.
That real tracks you are loading, where are you going with it?
Ghana Police, Opa, railway lines. Opa. A truck is loading railway lines. Charlie. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
928. 97.3 CDFM. We have wonderful friends joining us from the Ghana Export Promotion Authority, GEPA. I'm sure you've heard about the Adinkra International Arts and Crafts Show, and you're wondering what it's all about. My friends are in the studio. They'll be telling us more about it. So you do well to benefit from it. Chris Amponsasaki is head of public relations directorate at GEPA. And then the head of industrial arts and crafts. No, I like your title. Head of industrial arts and crafts, Nelly Joanna Spiel Abedu. Welcome, gentlemen and lady.
Thank you.
As for head of public relations, I know what that means. But industrial arts and crafts.
Yes.
Tell you, you're a big rumor.
She's very big.
No, you're big. That's what you're big. Why are you a big rumor?
The studio is too small,
small for small, small.
How did you manage to enter?
Small.
I like the vibe. And you are in this beautiful t-shirts with Adinkra symbols.
Yeah.
I can identify a few there.
It's all about the Adinkra vibe.
Tell me about
That's the new story in town. The new location in town.
Tell me about it.
Adinkra International Arts and Crafts Show is the reason why we are here. Anyway, thank you for giving us audience this morning. And we are here to share with you a beautiful story or a beautiful event that is coming on in Ghana here. The first time, the first in its kind in the whole of West Africa, if I may say so. This one is going to be unique. That's why I said that's the first in West Africa because of its nature
because
and the way it has been curated.
It belongs to us.
Adinkra is Adinkra. Yes. That is it. So we are here this morning to introduce to you the Adinkra International Arts and Crafts Show, an event created by the Ghana Export Promotion Authority under the able leadership of Osafohene, Dr. Ifua Asabia Asare.
The one and only. It's very important. Yeah. I love it. Good morning to her.
So it is her vision to promote made in Ghana products and services, but in this particular event, promoting crafts uniquely among the all the sectors that we have been promoting. Then also this is an international event. Let me just mention that this is not that like the usual bazaars and the shows that we always see. This is an event that we are inviting the whole of Africa, the whole of the world to come to Ghana. So the exhibitors and all the people who are participating are not just people from Ghana, but our colleagues from the whole of Africa are coming. and is going to happen from 26th of April to the 5th of May.
Oh, wow.
Happening in Konkonuru Ebri. Please remember the word is Konkonuru Ebri. That is very close to Ebri.
Okay.
So if you are coming for
the... park there.
That is it. I'm coming to it. Okay. An interesting place. That okay. is the one of the reasons why...
Tell me about it.
Yes, yes, yes. What makes it unique is the location. We've always been in Accra with the hustle and bustle, the hot and all that. Now we are going in the greens.
Yeah, man.
You know, we want to change the levels.
Yes, sir.
We want to send it to another
Tell
level.
Me about
yes,
it.
Yes,
Tell
yes,
me
yes,
about
yes.
it. I love
this
the
is
vibe.
Papaya Recreational Village.
Fantastic.
Yes, a place that you will love to be. It's a family focus center, a gathering center, a place that we can really relieve yourself of all the stress.
Yeah.
That is where we are having this event, a very beautiful park or garden that you can come with the family, we can come with even the whole of CTFM and all people, corporate institutions and all that are welcome. As we go along, I think I'll be adding more to it.
Yes.
There is more to share with you.
Let me ask Chris.
Let me just add a bit to what she just said. This Papaya Recreational Village we are talking about, it is situated on 2,000 acres of land.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
It's a big place.
It's a very
I've made
huge
a mental
place.
Note to
yes.
visit it. I've not been there yet.
This is the opportunity.
It's a good time.
You know?
And so what kind of crafts are people bringing? I have a lot of friends who are into making of things. Some make bags, some make shoes, some make belts, all African themed stuff, shirts with Dinkra, Kente, and all these sort of things, right? So what kind of things are we expecting to see, especially for the international community who will be coming, and also for our domestic audiences we are hoping to have?
So the products you just talked about, the leather products you talked about, and then even jewelries.
Right.
It's also going to be there.
Right.
PMMC. You know PMMC?
Yes,
that
yes,
is
yes,
a
yes.
precious
minerals
marketing company. Yeah. They are going to be there to set up and all that. So everything, jewelry, you're going to find it there. We also would have paintings as well.
And
the exciting
and paintings, artworks,
paintings. And you know, the interesting thing is that Osafohini Dr. Fua Sabiasari herself is a painter.
Oh no, I didn't know this.
Yes, she's a painter.
You
when
are
you
kidding
come
me.
To when you come to GEPA and you visit our Impact Hub, the GEPA Impact Hub, all the paintings you see over there are her handiwork.
You are kidding me.
Yes, yes.
Oh no, no wonder she is very, you know, artistic in the outlook.
Yes. And so there is an event that she conceived.
Right.
She gave birth to it. And she just wants to ensure that it becomes a great success.
No, I want to come already. If I want to be a vendor, is there room for me, or you finished selecting your people already? If anyone is interested to exhibit their arts, their craft and all of that at the Dinkra International Arts and Crafts Show, so how can they be a part of this?
Please, We are still admitting exhibitors.
Okay.
If you are interested in participating, you visit gepafairs.org and register as an exhibitor. And if you want to come there to...
Take it.
Yes,
take
please.
It. I want to...
Yes. So gepafairs.org.
Oh, fairs.
Fairs. As in trade fairs. So gepafairs.
Oh, fairs. Okay.
Fairs.
Fairs.com.
Gepafairs.org.
Org. Okay,
yes.
Good.
So you go there, you see a slot for attendee and also for exhibitor.
Okay.
So you are visiting the fair. We will encourage you to let us know that you are coming.
Right.
You can come without registering,
right,
but please, if
it's
you let us
for
know
data.
For database purposes, we want you to register. But you can always walk in. And as an exhibitor, that one strictly you have to register as an exhibitor.
Right.
And for exhibitors, registration is 2,000 Ghana cedis.
Okay.
And for those who are registered with GEPA already, that's GEPA registered members, they are paying 1,500 Ghana cedis.
Okay.
And it's 10 days.
Wow.
A whole 10 days at this venue, Lazarus venue, and just subsidized at 2,000 Ghana cedis.
Wow.
Just name it, divide by the 10 days, and you are paying nothing.
And so we're going to be there for 10 days.
This is a 10-day event.
So if I have a stall or a table, or how do you call it?
A booth.
You are going to have
that for 10 days.
For good 10
and
days.
And I'm paying 2,000.
Just 2,000.
Oh, This one is like 200 cities
a
day.
I tell you, other equally events, yes, nine square meter, but other equal events, we take, others take about 1,000 cities a day.
Yeah.
But for this one, a whole 10 day, it has been subsidized for just 2,000.
Can I take a booth and share with someone?
At this, it may be difficult, but let's talk and see. A group can come together and buy a number of boots and share.
I like
but
it.
But let's
and
see.
You know, the part that was not stressed so much is the discount we are giving to our members.
Oh.
And that is the reason why we encourage that people should come and register with GEPA.
No, because GEPA, I know you train Ghanaian entrepreneurs, those who want to export their stuff abroad. You have a particular school you take them through. You take them through courses.
Exactly.
So all these people benefit from the discounts.
The discounts.
Oh, wow.
All those registered members.
So if I join now, will I get a discount?
Please join. Join now. Register with GEPA and get that discount. It's never too late. And just to let you know that it's not just the, like I mentioned from the beginning, it's not just an ordinary exhibition. This exhibition has so much content. And just to mention also that our brand ambassador is Rocky Dawini.
Oh, right.
And he is the main man who is going to rock on 27. Oh, yes. On the 27th, he's performing. When you come there, apart from this, there are seminars, workshop that will engage you on the export community, what is going on.
Yeah.
It will also engage you on how to even go into export, what the buyers are looking for. And the good news is that one additional thing also is that we are bringing buyers down here to buy from our exporters or exhibitors.
Right.
So if I say that this is not the usual bazaar that we always know, then this is the difference is so clear.
Right.
You are learning, you are selling, and you are getting orders for your products. And also the family, having a place to relax and engage, and also just to get new things for your halls, your offices, and all.
Yeah.
Craft is the new luxury. We are no longer going to the Dubai and China to bring in. Now you can get quality products. Sakurai is there, Jolly Craft, the Leatherworks groups and all that, ZYZ and the quality shoes and all that you can.
So, Joanna,
the brands.
So, Joanna, my friends who are photographers, who have traveled across the country, who have printed their photos on canvas can all come and exhibit and
sell. We have some who have
stuff.
Already registered.
Ooh,
their showcases.
Nice.
Anything that you have done, creative items that you have produced, please contact us. There is room for you to showcase. Just call us and we'll assist you to go through the registration in case you have any difficulty. We are always on standby. We have a secretariat man in that.
Chris, I'm going to ask you how stakeholders and the public can contribute to the success of the Dinkra International Arts and Craft. But will there be food, Joanna?
There will be food. There's
Sammy
food.
Beba
just name it. Just name it.
Thank
which
you.
Food do you want? Just name it.
Yeah, but so how can stakeholders contribute to its success?
So already
Chris?
We are collaborating with a lot of stakeholders, that is both public and then the private sector. In the public sector, we are collaborating with Ghana Exim and an import bank, that is GEZM. We are also collaborating with Ghana Free Zones Authority, GIPC as well. And then the National Culture Commission, and then the Tourism Authority. We are collaborating with all of them. And then in the private sector, we are collaborating with all these art and craft villages and the associations as well.
Right.
And they are all contributing immensely. Without them, this program cannot be a success. So we are collaborating effectively with all these stakeholders. And they have been very, very, very helpful.
Fantastic
very,
stuff.
Very, very helpful.
So we are going to be there as the 26th of April to May the 5th as a 10-day international exhibition at Dinkra International Arts and Crafts Show is happening at Kunkunru, Ebri. So do well to be there. This one, international people are coming from all over the world. So you're going to expand your network and build net worth across the globe. So do well to be there. Nelly, thank you.
Yeah.
And Chris, thank you. Your final words before you take leave of us.
So,
yes.
I also want to add that we have some partnership with this gentleman we call Chief Moomin.
Oh, right.
Of the Wobejeke fame.
Chief Moomin.
Yes.
Right.
So there's going to be some theatrical performances, some cultural performances and all that. And then we are also going to have Rocky Dawini on the 27th performing. And usually when we talk about performance, people think that it's going to be in the night. This performance is not going to be in the night. By 5 p.m. exactly, he'll be on stage.
Nice.
So if you are waiting to come to the event center by 8 p.m., to
it'll
join in the fun,
so you come late. Early.
So come early. By 5 p.m., he will be on the stage. And then lastly, buses are going to be provided.
Oh, that's cool.
For all those who want to come to the
where will the buses Papaya, be?
There will be advantage points in Accra.
All over the place.
All over the place.
You look and out it's going to be branded.
Okay. And it's going to be branded. When you see those buses, you will know that these are buses that are moving straight to the mountains.
Nice one there.
Join them. Sonny. When you get there, we'll bring you back.
Chris Amponsasaki, Head Public Relations Director. Nelly Joanna Spiel Abedu, Head of Industrial Arts and Crafts. All both from the GEPA. Lady gentlemen, thank you for joining us in the studio and keep thank up the you. Amazing work you're doing. Wishing you all the best. We'll be there.
Thank
we'll be there.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be coming. We'll be there. Coming.
Special person ready for you.
Yes, yes.
So just be there.
I will come.
Just be there.
And the t-shirt, I'm coming for my own.
And all those who will be there, we have something special for them.
Fantastic one there. Let's go. Let's do this. And let's celebrate everything Ghanaian by showing up in our outfits made from genuine, authentic GTB fabrics. Introducing the latest GTP new style collection with unique designs inspired by our culture and embedded with symbols that unite us as Ghanaians. Go ahead and grab the new Ghana Month collection from GTP, available at all accredited GTP dealers nationwide, the GTP retail store in Osu, or online at shop.gtpfashion.com. Let your outfit say, I am Ghanaian, I wear GTP, me free Ghana. Check the authenticity of any GTP fabric you purchase by matching the code on the edge of the fabric with the code on the label. GTP Life Style.
Now, if you are dreaming of the perfect sofa to get this year, that dream sofa is a reality at Latex Foam. Get the sleek L-shaped V-Sofa at just 3,100 CDs and get the V-Sofa set at 6,500 CDs and you get the chance to elevate your living space with Latex Foam. Hi, because your perfect sofa awaits. Latex Foam is your partner for life. Now, secure your ownership in Cowbank today. Increase your shareholding in Cowbank PLC if you are a Cowbank shareholder by taking up your rights in our renounceable rights issue at 0.29 pesos per share. To do so, visit the website rightsissue.cowbank.net. Update your profile and make payments to take advantage of your rights before the offer ends on the 26th of April. Take advantage of this rights issue to increase your shareholding today. Cowbank, forward together.
And if you're a young Ghanaian seeking stable, fulfilling employment, look no further than the Ghana Growth Program brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Ghana Grows ignites hope and guides you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical and vocational skills. Whether you are 15 or 35, male or female, this program equips you with the skills to thrive. Gain access to career guidance, counseling, and essential skills training. Join us and contribute to Ghana's growth through careers in agriculture and ATVET. It's an initiative of MasterCard Foundation in partnership with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. For more information, please call us on 0308255775. All right, so we'll go for a quick break. When we are back, there's more for you.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
.9 47. Back in the studio, and we have guests. We have guests in the studio. Our friends. Oh, pleasant surprise. When I say Absu, you will hear Absu.
Action.
Absu.
Action.
Absu.
Action.
Oh, man. It's pleasant to see Engineer Eric Atasodu in the studio. Good to see you.
Thank
really,
you.
Really, really pleasant good surprise. You. You're the Global General Secretary of Absu. And then Augustine Abuchi, you are the president of Absu USA.
Yes.
Gentlemen, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So to what do we owe this pleasure on a Friday morning like this?
Okay. We have a project coming up. Mm. In fact, it's a project ongoing, but we are having a public launch today.
Okay.
And that's how come we are here.
Mm.
In 1980... our college, St. Augustine's College, was 50 years.
Okay.
And we're having the Golden Jubilee celebration. that celebration got truncated by a very bizarre accident when the students were undergoing a float through the streets of Cape Coast. Somebody drove through the crowd, the students jubilating, and some people died.
Oh.
Many got injured.
True.
And it's been a blot on our celebrations. Anytime we're having some celebrations, yeah, it becomes a certain kind of blot. And so we decided that we would reenact that event, that unfortunate event, with a movie.
Okay.
And so it is that movie that we are publicly
launching.
It's a fundraising launch, actually, this evening. And so that's how we are here this morning.
Oh, so it's happening today?
Today,
yes. Where is it happening?
At the Absa Clubhouse.
Where is it?
It's Ridge near the GIJ.
Oh, okay.
So wow. It's an easy driving distance, and it's going to start at 6 p.m.
Right.
So we'll start with a photo opportunity and networking, mm-hmm, and then 6:30 sharp we start, and it will last about 2 hours.
Right. So you are reenacting the whole scene.
Yes.
So these are students. Who's the movie director? What goes into this? Whose script is this? And
so the movie director is an award-winning movie director, right, Ambrose Bobby Cook. He's a Absunian.
Mm.
So this is an all Absunian movie, as much as possible. Over 98% Absunian, right, movie. And so he's won awards from First Paco and all those wow, awards. And so he's leading. And the scriptwriter is Raymond Tuvi. He's also renowned in the media space.
Mm.
So he put up the script together.
Okay.
So these are all, I mean, actual true events. So they put all the information together and then scripted it.
No, so I like what you're doing. Though a tragic incident, you're trying to, first, you are commemorating it,
yes,
paying respects to your lost brethren, and then using that as a rallying point to put, right, all your brethren together.
Exactly.
And then using that to also see how you can come together to push the collective interest and well-being of the school. So what's the focus? When you do this, you mentioned that you'll be raising funds.
Yes.
What's your target and what focus, what project are you focusing on with this?
The project is costing $200,000, US dollars.
Okay.
And so we are beginning the fundraising today. We are hoping to raise as much as we can raise today,
mm-hmm,
in order to have the project continue. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see how far we can go. The project has already begun. It started last year.
Okay.
Some shots have been taken. Some scenes have already been done and all of that.
Right.
They've done some in UK, some in US. It's left to the Ghana portion. And so it's not like we are now starting the movie. The movie, it's already being filmed in portions. And then when they are done, the production people will do whatever they have to do to piece them together and all.
So, wait, the movie itself is what's costing $200,000 USD?
Yes, yes.
Okay. But when you use the movie to raise funds,
exactly,
what project are you aiming to use that to drive?
So, the aim of the APSU is Students Past Students Union.
Yes.
Everything we do is towards the good of the college.
Yeah.
And so, when we raise the funds, the chunk of it will go into the college, depending on the infrastructure needs and whatever needs in the college, we would deal with that.
Right.
And then, of course, as we do that, we also look at some of the issues that the union itself also has to deal with.
Mm.
One other key one is we're going to create a media arts lab where students can go in there and build skills, so they can learn things in media space.
Wow.
The movie, they can use the raw footage as a canvas to learn how to edit, how to bring things to life.
Cool.
So you have a small lab just for the arts.
So like a studio for art students.
For art students.
Who want to learn how to put together documentaries.
Exactly.
Stuff like
exactly
that.
So by the time they leave school, they have some handy skills, right?
Okay.
These days, if a student can edit videos, you can start making money even without formal employment.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
So when you leave school, you want to have those things.
So who can be part of today's launch? Who can come? I mean, do you have nosy neighbors who can come through?
Absolutely.
Is this strictly for the boys? Oh, it's open to the public.
Well, it's open to all who would come and support us.
Right.
So, but if you cannot physically be there, join us online.
Okay.
But if you go to www.apsuusa.com/movies, you'll find information on how to join over there.
Wow.
And then you can contribute, you can pledge your support, and then we'll come and, you know, follow up with you.
No, I really like this initiative because we have long spoken about how we could use the power of storytelling and technology to, you know, build the psyche of people, to give them a sense of self-worth and have pride in who they are, and then also, you know, spare them on to do greater things. So I like the fact that you are telling your own story, because in many respects as a nation, sometimes you've wondered which part of our history we have films detailing, you know, that remind us of how far we have come, so that we don't leave our narrative for others. So, absolute, well done.
Oral history is important, but sometimes they leave details as you go along.
Missing,
but a film will keep all those things intact for future generations.
I love it. So before you take leave of us, what's your final word? Why should everyone be a part of this project? Global Secretary.
For us, Absunians, we say that being an Absu is a calling.
Right.
And we want to request all Absunians listening to us to be part of this project. Mm. If you are in Accra tonight, find your way to the Absa Clubhouse. Let's together celebrate the lives of those two who lost their lives, and the many others that got maimed, and all the others, so that we celebrate the history of our college and the resolve of Absunians to make our college what we all seek for it to be. If you are not in Accra, join us by Zoom, and let's all together be part of the program. Beyond today, let us support the fundraising efforts so we can raise as much as we require to do this. When we do it, it's in the collective good interest of our college and collective interest of all of us as Absunians.
I like it. I like a final words from you as well.
So please join us wherever you are online. Follow us on our media handles, Absu USA or Absu Global on Facebook, or www.absuusa.com/movies. So we invite everybody to join us in person and online.
That's right.
Thank you, gentlemen. Action. I like this action.
Action. I
like this action. Kote Orukodo. It's a nice one. Thank you for passing through. Engineer Eric Atasodu, his global general secretary, Absu, and Augustine Abuchi, the president, Absu USA. And they are putting together a project, a movie detailing a tragic incident that took place in 1980 during their Golden Jubilee, and using this to push the identity and the brand of Absu, raising funds and doing amazing stuff in their school. It's 56 minutes past 9. Some of your messages have been coming through. We'll wrap up with them.
Is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation. City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Golden voice of Rocky Dawuni. It's 2 minutes to the top of the hour. Some of your messages. This one on Facebook, Della Ablasim. The irony of this matter is that the Indian government has given us a $400 million loan, and yet the stolen railway lines are sold back to the biggest steel companies in Ghana that are owned by Indians. Check the ownerships and you will be shocked. Opa is off Sapeman, close to Amasaman in Gan West. Gan West Municipal Assembly Chief Executive. Send your men. Uncle Sam, please say less. Medina Zungo Junction, wire fences were erected in the middle of the road to prevent and save pedestrians from being knocked down. But the criminal elements around have destroyed the fences, and the authorities have been looking on since Mokole. City team, check the whole main roads. No markings. I bet that accident happens every other weekend on that roundabout.
Forget it, Bibia. Me here, Musicia. Change me, Lime, Wuma, Sentina, Yenimia. Semifame, the Fu, Vedia, Maya, Wusia. Oh, yes,
Sakodia speaks of Adjoa Sechibia in this song. But in the studio now is Adjoa Tenkrama Domina. She'll be bringing you the news at 10. Thereafter, Antenna is here. And she'll be bringing you. Brunch in the City, Dynamic Friday. My name is Caleb Elia. You heard Samuel Atabensa. You heard Richard Delasky, Nathan Crow, Godfred Odu. No, you didn't hear him physically. You heard his works, you know. And thank you to Fred Tete Jabano, to Duncan. They were all producing and giving us assistance. Thank you for listening, and do stay with us.